Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Father, we give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Please, you may be gloriously seated. Welcome to church. This is Koinonia. Tonight, God will do you good in Jesus' matchless name. Who is receiving tonight? God will do us good in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Bible says they looked unto him and their faces were lightened. You never go down looking unto Jesus. You never go down giving him your attention. You never go down trusting him. He says, they that put their trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion. Mount Zion, immovable, abiding forever. May that describe you from tonight. In the name of Jesus. Now, very quickly, just a little housekeeping, a few announcements, and then we'll very quickly go into the ministry of the word tonight. By the way, would you look your neighbor left and right, just warmly tap them and tell them, God bless you, this is Koinonia. Particularly if this is their first time, do it again, say, God bless you, this is Koinonia. What they just told you is that this is a place for your testimony. This is a place for encounter. It's a place for transformation where you access light in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, first announcement we have here. I wish I were not the one who would have to say this, but we'll be having a special service on Thursday. Hallelujah. So there will be a special Koinonia service. For those of you who do not know, Thursday is my birthday. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it's good to know that I was born. Hallelujah. So on Thursday, 5 p.m. we're here. It's not morning. It's a standard Koinonia service. Hallelujah. It'll be a time of worship, and I'll be sharing a few things and just praying a blessing from my heart to you. And so 5 on the dot, please make sure you invite everyone. We thought to do it in the evening to allow people attend to matters of work through the day, and then we converge 5 right here. And of course, as always, all our programs will be live on all our platforms. So please send the word. 5 p.m. Thursday, it's a special Koinonia service. Number 2, in honor to this same birthday, we'll be having that morning, we'll get the timing, but it should not be earlier than 10 o'clock. By the grace of God, still finalizing arrangements, but the medical team will be having a free medical outreach, just as a way of giving back. And I know that, you know, when you make announcements like this, you can't imagine how many people are listening. So let me use this opportunity and encourage you. If you are a doctor, a medical practitioner in the house, you are a son and a daughter across the globe or in this city, even if you are not directly connected to this vision and you want to lend in your hand, your support, please, we need all the medical practitioners we can get. I've learned that we don't make careless announcements. When you say something very casually in this house, you'll be surprised to see what happens. Our medical, you know, department has almost become a hospital for many on Sunday. You can find lines of people. So please, all doctors, nurses, lab technicians, paramedics, you can, so let's do it this way. I'm not sure that a link is given here, but please, you can meet the head of medicals, Dr. Cha. Is he here? Okay, not here directly. Or you can go to the PR stand immediately after the service PR, please create a sheet where they can write their names and their numbers. And those of you who are, you need not to, you know, put yourself under duress if you are outside of Nigeria or outside of Abuja, in fact. We want to focus on practitioners who are within the Abuja metropolis so we make it realistic. And so let's see how many doctors and how many medics we can get so that we do the best that we're able to do. I cannot tell you, unfortunately, I'm not a doctor, so I cannot tell you the scope of what the outreach will cover. However, please look to our social media platforms from tomorrow. So all those who want to participate is free, but we don't promise attending to every medical condition. Some will require a more detailed medical attention, and we'll do our best to make sure that as the doctors advise, so we're going to make sure that we put the announcement properly. Are you happy about that? Number three, all babies who will be born on Thursday, we will support their medical bills within Abuja. We can't do outside of Abuja, but so our medical people will collaborate with some of the hospitals. Some of you who are almost due, start praying. Who knows? God is a miracle worker. But so all babies, I'm not saying if you already have a child, those in the womb now, once they are born 25th June, would work with our medical team to find a way of verifying with the hospital so that we can support the medical bills. Hallelujah. Two more and then we're done. Number four, by the grace of God, we'll be distributing bags of rice at concurrently on Thursday. I think that should be morning or afternoon again. We'll announce it, but this time around, it is strictly for widows. Strictly for widows. Now, let me tell you something. Every husband that allows his wife to join the queue, you know what you are already prophesying. Praise the name of the Lord. Strictly for widows. Because sometimes you need to drum this. There are people who will not care. If you are married and your wife is joining the queue and we're shouting for widows, you already know the meaning of what that means. Hallelujah. You will not die in Jesus' name. But strictly for widows, if we're able to exhaust the widows, then hopefully we can look through those who are truly less privileged. You know, sometimes when you are sharing bags of rice, you see people wearing designers and then they are on the queue to take the bags of rice and you are tempted to say, remove your shirt and carry the rice. You know, so all that will be happening Thursday. Finally, we have a growing relationship with the correctional centers. And through the years, we have done several projects. And one of the things that hopefully we're going to be doing, aside from what we do every time around this time, we buy them all kinds of gifts. I just thought to my heart, so we're working with the CEOs and hopefully, you know, Ministry of Interior to see how that some of the inmates who have been in prison, either based on false accusations or others who have exhausted their time and very little, they've been rehabilitated and little can bail them out and they don't have the money to reunite with their families. We're working to see how we can bail some of those people to be reunited with their families. So this is all that will be happening on Thursday. We'll focus on the Zaria prison and the Kuje prison. At least we can do. Who knows? Maybe you'll finally meet your family member. Hallelujah. But why am I saying this to you? Because I told you that when you celebrate birthdays, it's not just a year added to you. It's the fact that God has granted you the grace to live effectively. Hallelujah. So it's not just Joshua Selman's birthday. It's a celebration of the goodness of God to all of us. So make sure you participate. And our philosophy in this family is that what happens to one happens to all. So make sure that you take out time. Just know that Thursday is for us together. You are not coming as a spectator. You should be involved in at least one or more of these things. Again, a major part of fleshing in on this announcement will come on Monday, latest tomorrow, through all our social media platforms. Should the need arise, we'd still add a little video and put it on our platforms just to give perspective. So, but the most important part, I think, is the service by five, because that's where everyone can receive. Birthdays are times when unusual requests are granted. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'd come, have some time of worship, we'd pray, I'll bring the word, and then just speak over our lives, and we're done. If you're happy, celebrate Jesus. So you can get the word out, particularly for the free medical treatment, the distribution. Last year we had, it was quite chaotic, and I'm praying that it won't repeat itself. We had over 30,000 people or so, and it was almost creating a stampede outside. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to guide. That's why we're saying is first and most importantly for widows. Widows meaning those who their husbands, not relatives, husbands, have gone to be with the Lord. Praise God. And if we do exhaust that, then we can look. We do not have to finish the distribution on the birthday, even if it means to shift the remaining part for the week afterwards and then spread it, you know, to other people would do that. But for now, the emphasis is for the widows. And then, of course, I look forward to seeing how many wonderful babies will be born June 25th. So what will happen is I'm sure that the media will create a link or the medical department so that those, we have a relationship with major hospitals within Abuja. And so those that are born, this is only for those within Abuja. If we do the whole globe, we'll not be able to do that. We don't know how many babies are born every day. Praise God. So let's focus on Abuja and see how far God will help us. It's just our way of supporting, just to thank God for the gift of life. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Tonight's message is for four categories of people. Everyone gets blessed, but there are four categories of people who tonight's message is dedicated to. Number one, in honor of the Father's Day, the first group of people that this message is dedicated to are fathers who have demonstrated the nobility of fatherhood, the ones who have bent over backwards to supporting their families and raising children who are now a blessing to our world. These men, some of them nameless, some of them faceless, but they have contributed to making family and making society and even nation a better place. And so this message is dedicated first to these fathers. Number two, this message is dedicated to mothers who have had to stand in to play the role of fathers, either because the men in their lives transited to glory or sadly because of a dysfunctional family. And rather than leaving the children to happenstance, they decided to take the responsibility and fight, if not for themselves, for their homes and for their children. Number three, tonight's message is dedicated to the children who, either because they lost both parents, particularly their fathers, or because of the sad reality of family dysfunction, have had to stay to fight through. And like you plant a seed, and it thrives against gravity until it becomes a giant tree. Many of them have pushed through the tides of the vices that plague people when not guided, and they have made meaning out of their lives. And then number four, this message finally is dedicated to fathers who, either because of poor mentorship, because of pressures, have not done a good job as far as fatherhood is concerned. Some of them may not have the opportunity to redeem and correct what happened in their families. But at least those who are able to, perhaps from tonight's teaching, they may find their way back to fix within their lifetime the mistakes that may have been made. And for others, even if you are not able to correct their families, maybe they could correct themselves for the sake of posterity. It's a very thought-provoking discussion, and I'm hoping and praying that God will bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm teaching on redefining fatherhood. Redefining fatherhood. We'll be looking, we hope that tonight's teaching will help to restore biblical fatherhood as God desired, as God intended. Malachi chapter 4, please, and verse 6. Redefining fatherhood. Malachi 4 and verse 6. May I request that we shout it in concert as the Lord begins to guide our understanding. One, two, go. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. One more time. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Redefining fatherhood. Praise the name of the Lord. One of the great deliverances that happened to me years ago, as far as the ministry of the word is concerned, is the investment of time, energy, and the engaging of your mind to search for the meaning and the definition of words. It is almost impossible to thoroughly understand any concept at all if your definition is faulty. Most times, we use words and we use them very carelessly or very generically. And because we do not have a unification of definition, we may be saying the same thing, but it means different things to many people. For an example, if you say God, you will be surprised what God means to several people. For someone, God means self. For another person, God means the Almighty God. For someone, God means the originator of any faith practice. For someone, God means any cosmic power that operates out of or beyond the scope of science. For someone, God means some idol somewhere that's been transferred. So we all say God, but it means several things. Are we together? For an example again, if you say success or you say victory, for someone, success means having money. For someone, success means making impact. For someone, success means having a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so men and women of God, in communicating the word of God, must take the pain and the labor to help unify the understanding of words and to define them properly. Did you know that once a definition is gotten properly, you are already on course to understanding the concept? Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. In preparing my notes and, you know, studying fatherhood again, I had to take a deep breath, honestly, you know, wondering how many people truly, sincerely so, have been involved with matters of family and yet were never trained to understand family as God intended. Little wonder, family life translated to community life, translated to national life, it seems to be on a decline because the men are not able to rise up to their full prophetic potential. But I'm hoping that this message will be a great contribution to helping our redefinitions and to recalibrate our understanding as far as fatherhood is concerned. You believe that? Say amen. So very quickly, let me establish a few things about the concept of fatherhood. Fatherhood, in its truest definition, goes beyond being a male. And I want you to please pay attention as you write. Fatherhood, in its truest definition, goes beyond being a male. The average believer's understanding of father is a male figure who has a child. But that's not an accurate understanding. Fatherhood, in its truest definition, goes beyond being a male. Fatherhood goes beyond being a married man. You can be a married man and yet not be father. There are many married men, truly, who are not fathers. Number three, fatherhood goes beyond having biological children. You can be a daddy and yet not a father. Take note of these concepts. They are very important. And those of you who are connected online, perhaps you may want to slip this link to someone, and this can be a message of hope, perhaps a message of redemption for someone. Again, that fatherhood in its truest definition goes beyond being a male. Number two, fatherhood goes beyond being a married man. Number three, fatherhood goes beyond having children. Now, you must be careful tonight to not hear what I am not saying. Hallelujah. There are two kinds of hearing tonight. You must hear what I am saying and also trust God for grace to not hear what I am not saying. Number four, fatherhood goes beyond family life. So I've set four things now as a foundational concept. I repeat quickly. Number one, that fatherhood in its truest definition goes beyond being a male. Number two, it goes beyond being a married man. Number three, it goes beyond having biological children. Number four, it goes beyond family life. Now listen, only men, only the male gender can evolve to be called fathers, but all leaders, regardless gender, can exhibit fatherhood qualities. Only the male figure can evolve to be called father, but all leaders, regardless gender, can exhibit fatherhood qualities. Did you get what I just said? That means only the male figure, according to scripture, according to biology, can evolve to be called father. However, all leaders, regardless gender, can exhibit fatherhood qualities. If you're learning already, say amen. Now, the male gender is the scripturally authorized entity committed with the responsibility of fatherhood. But fatherhood as a principle goes beyond the male. Please listen again. The male gender is the scripturally authorized entity committed by God with the responsibility of fatherhood. However, fatherhood as a principle goes beyond being a male. That means male and female, there's an allocation of responsibility, particularly with respect to family life. And we're saying the male gender is the scripturally authorized entity committed with the responsibility of fatherhood. But fatherhood as a principle goes beyond a male. Goes beyond the male. Are we learning? Next point. Fatherhood is most visibly seen in the family structure. But it is a principle that goes beyond the family institution. Fatherhood is most visibly seen in the family structure. But it is a principle that goes beyond the family institution. I'm going to repeat everything I've said because this is the foundation upon which my discussion will be built on. The last point again. Fatherhood is most visibly seen in the family structure, but it is a principle that goes beyond the family institution. Is someone learning already? So a quick recap of everything that I've said. Number one, that fatherhood in its truest definition goes beyond being a male. Number two,
that fatherhood goes beyond being a married man. Number three, that fatherhood goes beyond having biological children. Number four, that fatherhood goes beyond family life. And we said only the male gender can evolve to be called fathers. But leaders, all leaders, regardless gender, can exhibit fatherhood qualities. And then we said the male gender is the scripturally authorized entity committed with the responsibility of fatherhood. But fatherhood as a principle goes beyond the male. And finally, we said fatherhood is most visibly seen in the family structure. But fatherhood as a principle goes beyond the family institution. If you understand this so far, say amen. Are you seeing that this already is a mind shift for someone? Because the moment we say father, most times men just believe that they are talking to them and to them alone. And I'm saying that only the male figure can evolve through growth, through maturity, and will one day be called a father as a person. But fatherhood as a principle goes beyond the male gender. Did you get this now? Now, what or who is a father? What or who is a father? If your mind is an inquisitive one, you should know immediately, even without my definition coming yet, that being a father goes beyond a personality. You now see that it is a concept, it is an idea that is embodied in a personality, but it goes way beyond that personality. The same thing with the word wife or the word husband. Yesterday, I think I was sharing very briefly at the wedding ceremony, and it's one of the things I said. When we talk of wife, for an example, we think married women. No, you can be a married woman and not a wife. In fact, according to scripture, you should be a wife before you are found. So wife does not describe a woman with a ring in her finger. Wife defines a woman who has evolved into a certain quality. The word wife is a quality, not just a person. That quality can be embodied in a woman. The same way you use the word husband. Husband does not mean a man who paid the dowry of a wife. Not necessarily so. Husband is the name given to a quality that captures responsibility, a quality that captures the willingness to protect, to provide. You see that now? And then when that man gets married, when the woman gets married, they now have a legal platform to exhibit those qualities. Is someone learning now? But we're dealing with fatherhood tonight. So who or what is a father? Now, as you know, the word father comes from the Hebrew Aramaic expression. The Hebrew is the word ab, A-B, or broadly speaking, Abba, as we know it. So it's not really Hebrew per se. So scripture has an interplay of four main languages: Hebrew, Latin, Aramaic, and Greek. Sometimes you have Italian, you know, an interface to it also, but generally speaking, Hebrew, Latin, Aramaic, and Greek. And sometimes you find an interplay of these words. But not to bother us with Greek and Hebrew, the Hebrew expression is the word Abba. Abba is spelled A-B-B-A. A-B-B-A. And Abba here does not mean daddy. Abba means source. Abba means foundation. Abba means sustainer. Please write that down. When we say a man is father as defined by its Hebrew connotation, it doesn't just mean daddy. We're coming there. but it means source, the source of anything. Number two, it means foundation. Number three, it means sustainer, the word Abba. Now we travel to see the Greek expression of the same, and is the word pater. Very simple definition, P-A-T-E-R, pater. Pater is similar to Abba, but what it means is protector. Pater means protector and nourisher. The word pater, the Greek parallel of Abba, means protector and nourisher. You have that down? So together, they mean source, they mean foundation, they mean sustainer, they mean provider, they mean protector. Abba and pater. Is someone learning now? Now, fatherhood, I wrote here, is first and foremost a creation principle and a leadership quality. Please listen. Fatherhood is first and foremost a creation principle and a leadership quality that is seen in both plants, animals, and humans. So fatherhood, from its foundational and truest definition, is not just limited to family structure. Fatherhood is first and foremost a creation principle. You find the concept in creation, and then it is a leadership quality that can be seen in plants, can be seen in animals, and can be seen in human. And I'll elaborate on that in a moment. It is about initiating. We're defining fatherhood. It is about initiating processes, maintaining those processes, and replicating or perpetuating those processes beyond oneself. Sorry for all these foundations, but just keep writing. It is about initiating processes, maintaining those processes, and then replicating or perpetuating those processes to go beyond oneself. That's fatherhood. Is someone learning already? That when we talk about fatherhood, it's a creation principle. And it's a leadership quality that originally or intrinsically has to do with initiating any process whatsoever, maintaining that process, and perpetuating that process or replicating that process to go beyond oneself. Fatherhood, like I said, is a leadership principle of initiating, sustaining, building, and replicating visions, ideas, or people. You see that it was incorporated into family life, but it's not limited to family life. We see fatherhood all around creation. Please everybody look. When you watch a plant, how many of you know that if you are to start a tree that will later become an orchard, the first thing you need is seed and soil. Am I right on that? So the seed, in partnership with the soil, plays the role of father. That is what creates the foundation and the initiation process for that tree. Are we together? The branch that grows out of it is likened to the mother. You will always know the mother in anything because it is the fruit-bearing part of it. Are we together? So the branch is there, and then the fruits are likened to the children. When you look at the fish of the sea, for an example, the command as far as the creation of fish in the sea was for the water to bring abundantly. And from that time, you'll be learning that source goes with sustenance. Where you came from is what maintains you. Please follow very closely. We have a long journey. From the time the fish came out of water, it became impossible for fish to survive out of water. That is its source, and that must be its sustenance. From the time the tree comes out of the soil, no matter how the tree rises high, it must stay connected to the soil. Are we together? For its survival. The moment you cut it from the soil, it withers. So that soil, in partnership with the seed, was to that tree, Abba, source, sustainer. When the winds blow the tree, how many of you know that it's the branches and the leaves that blow, not the root? The roots does not shift. It is what keeps the structure intact. Is someone learning now? So Jesus, in teaching us about fatherhood, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, he said, let me teach you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you pray, pray in this manner, our Father. He was teaching something. He said, pray in this manner. First two words, our Father. Matthew chapter 7, from verse 8, 9. It says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 9. It said, or what man is there of you in whom the son, so he's talking about fatherhood now, will ask bread and he will give him a stone? Verse 10. Or he will ask fish and he will give him a serpent? Verse 11. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your, talk to me ladies and gentlemen, how much more shall your, which is in heaven, give good things? One synoptic account will say, give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. So fatherhood is a creation principle. Fatherhood is also a leadership principle. That's how visions are born and perpetuated, through the principle of fatherhood. In fact, the highest demonstration of leadership is fatherhood. Write that down. The highest demonstration of leadership is fatherhood. The ability to begin, to originate, to birth a process, to nurture it, to protect it, to defend it, to build it, to give it structure, and to replicate it, is the highest expression of leadership. Is someone learning now? So if you are able to initiate processes, any kind, ideas, initiate visions and build them and nurture them, you become over that vision or over that idea, Abba. Every house is built by some man, but God is the builder of all. Is someone learning now? We are going to go to the family structure closely or shortly, but I want us to have that concept. So that when you hear the word Abba, you don't just think daddy. It means the source or the initiator of any process. Some of you here own companies. Some of you here own businesses. Some of you here have responsibilities over defined, you know, jurisdictions. With respect to your vision, you are Abba. You are Pata. Are we together? It came from God, but it came through you. You have the responsibility of believing in it, nurturing it, protecting it. Everything a father does to a child is what you do to that vision. And if you do it well, what happens to a child will happen to the vision too. A child grows, the vision will grow. A child becomes matured, the vision becomes matured. And with maturity will come expression of qualities and possibilities. You will also see it in the vision. Is someone learning? Now, let's travel to the home front. With respect to family life and the home front, who or what is a father? A father is a male who has accepted the role and the responsibility. Please write that down. A father is a male. Is a male, sir. Who has accepted responsibility? Who has accepted the role and the responsibility of starting a family, providing, protecting, and building the children from that family until they attain maturity? A father is a male who has accepted the role and the responsibility of starting a family, providing for that family, protecting the family, building the children that come from that family until they attain maturity. With respect to family, that is the definition of a father. So the word father is classically used in relation to family to mean the biological parent of the children within that family. But like I taught you, it extends to every expression of fatherhood. We have one example. We have those we call legal fathers. That means they are not biological fathers, but they have played the fatherly role. We have those we call adopted fathers. Are we together? Yes. Fathers by adoption. They have adopted certain children as their own, and they have played every fatherly role until the children got to the stage of maturity. And we have another dimension of fatherhood called eldership. That means by reason of age and experience, when a man attains a certain age, biologically, sociologically, automatically, society accords them that honor to call them father. Because it is believed, unfortunately it's not so in all cases, but it's believed that age should have taught them enough experience. Are we together? So any child, whether it's their biological child or not, when you see an elder, it's not unscriptural to call the person daddy or to call the person father. So eldership qualifies to be an expression of fatherhood. So we have biological fatherhood, we have legal fatherhood, for an example, we have adopted fatherhood, and then we have eldership. Eldership means that by the advantage of age and experience invested in time, you are able to provide counsel, provide guidance, for an example. Hallelujah. So you see immediately that this redefinition transcends fatherhood from a title to a functional office, an office that demands responsibility. Like I said, with all due respect, you can be daddy, meaning it is your seed that led to the arrival of that baby who is now your child. And it is rightfully so, with respect to that family circle, with respect to that child or those children, you are called father, you are called daddy, but that it extends way beyond that. A man can be a daddy in that he's responsible, his seed is responsible for that child, but every role that makes a child father, that man did not play it. And can I be honest with you? Society is full of such people today. The only thing that makes them call fathers in the life of the children is that they gave birth to them biologically. But every other responsibility, like you'll be learning, did not come from them. I'm praying first for the men in Koinonia, and then in the name of Jesus, extending to the body of Christ, let there be from tonight a restoration of biblical fatherhood. That means the willingness to accept the responsibility and the role, a divinely given role by God, to start, to nurture, to build, and to raise a great generation. Give us Psalm 112. Please, everybody, look at Psalm 112 very carefully. Psalm 112, praise ye the Lord. The Bible says, blessed is the man. So the journey started from who? The man. Please speak to me. The journey started from the man that feared the Lord and delighted greatly in his commands. By the time we get to verse 2, that whole business has gone beyond the man. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. When God began doing business, he looked beyond the man, but he started with the man. And now his seed has come in. They shall be mighty upon the earth. After seed, it goes to what? The generation. So it starts with the man, then his seed, then the generation. Again, the man, then the seed, then the generation. When Satan wants to destroy a generation, he does the reverse of it. You see that now? If he's not able to fight the man, to fight the seed. He can fight the generation directly, or fight the seed, or fight the man. But if he has an opportunity, he will fight the man. If he cannot fight the man, he will fight the seed. If he cannot fight the seed, he will fight the generation. So when a generation is corrupt and in decadence, and God wants to start a new order, what do you think God does? He finds a man. Then it extends to his seed. Then it goes to... Is someone learning now? This is very powerful. Isaiah chapter 51, I believe, from verse 1 and 2. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock. Watch this now. Look unto the rock. In fact, can you give us NIV? NIV, let's see how NIV presents it, all right? Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and you who seek the Lord. It says, look to the rock from which you were caught and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Verse 2, look unto Abraham, your, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. It says, when I called him, he was but alone. And I blessed him and made him. Please talk to me, believers. Are you seeing it now? So you were caught out from somewhere. And God is saying, I am always generational. But the way I do it is to call a man and make him a father. And from that man, a seed will come out and then a generation will be born. Isn't it amazing that the earth, as we know, started from one man and one woman, and today there's about 8.2 billion people thereabout upon the face of the earth. I called him alone and I blessed him and made him many. I called him alone and I blessed him and I made him many. If you're learning, say amen. Fatherhood, I wrote here, can be seen as one of the scriptural assignments of the man with respect to family life. Fatherhood can be seen as one of the scriptural assignments of the man with respect to family life. But it can also be seen as a leadership principle that can be practiced by all men. Let me say that. Fatherhood can be seen as one of the scriptural assignments of the man with respect to family life. But it can also be seen as a leadership principle that can be practiced by all men. Now, for the purpose of tonight's discussion, we will zoom our emphasis on fatherhood with respect to family life, but then extend it to every area of life. But I hope we're learning something. Praise the name of the Lord. So when we call a man or the male father, it means he's the one who God designated to be the greatest visible expression of fatherhood with respect to family life. But that fatherhood is not limited to the male gender alone, that it is a principle in creation. It's a concept that we see all around creation. Is the principle that is responsible for initiating, the principle responsible for sustenance, and the principle responsible for perpetuating anything, ideas, visions, people. Hallelujah. So, a young man, for an example, gets married to a young lady as an individual. He gets married to a young lady, and then with time, children come, whether biological or other children that come, or both. How many of you know that everyone under your care is your child? Hello? You may have your biological children, but if you understand fatherhood, everybody you have allowed to be under your care is your child. And if he refuses to be your child, let him go. Your child, meaning he's willing to listen. Your child, meaning he's willing to submit to the principle that guides that family. Now, from this definition, before we get to the roles of fatherhood, are you seeing that the man is not headship there is not about oppression. Look up, please, with all due respect. Now, it's one of the crises that has plagued a lot of men, because when we talk about man being the head of his home, many people carry it as a status that is used to oppress either their wives or oppress their children. Headship is with respect to responsibility and leadership. Hallelujah. Marriage is not a license for a man to enslave all those who are within his care. That you paid the dowry of a woman does not make her your slave. Unfortunately and sadly so, many men who have failed in various aspects of their life, they try to use marriage as a bailout to now have a territory where they are in control of, where they can shout at the woman, call the woman any name, and nobody talks to them. After all, they paid the dowry. The payment of dowry is not a license for oppression. It's a call to responsibility. Is somebody learning now? Hallelujah. There are many, many families today where the wives and the children, for an example, and all who are under the care cannot rise to their highest spiritual potential, cannot rise to the fullness of destiny, albeit because of this man called father. And yet there are other families, whether biologically or spiritually or otherwise, that they were able to find their footing in life because God helped them and bless them with fatherhood. Let me tell you, when God really wants to rescue a man, when God wants to help your destiny, the Bible says God picks the solitary and he places them in families. When God wants to help a beaten, battered person, either as a result of a dysfunctional family, what happens is that God does not just give you encounters. God picks you and plants you in another family. Even if not biological, it becomes your spiritual family. Let's look at that scripture. The Bible says God setteth the solitary in families and bringeth those who are bound with chains. You see that now? So you are beaten, you are battered, and God wants to help you. He connects you to a spiritual family. He connects you to a biological family. Fatherhood is a great responsibility, both in principle and within the family structure. It is a great responsibility. It's a great demonstration of trust, because as a father, you have the exclusive privilege of knowing what it means to experience the leadership of God within your small space. God is not just called God Almighty. He's also Abba. He's called Father. So if he trusts you, whether with a family, a business, a ministry, a company, whatever it is not just showmanship that you are a big person. It is a call to responsibility. Let's examine Father God for an example. God the Father himself. How many of you know that without man, God has always been God? But when man fell and everything to redeem man did not work, the Bible says God himself, for God so loved the world. As Father, he so loved the world. He was the initiator of salvation. Jesus was the one who executed it, but it was the Father's idea. It was the Father who sat down to brainstorm a strategy. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. Are we together now? Christ came to execute that which the Father had birthed within his spirit. Society is in decadence today because there are many men, maybe sincere men, maybe hard-working men, maybe even determined men. There are many married men. There are many men with children, but there are few fathers. Few fathers. Over families, few fathers. Over ministries, few fathers. Over businesses. That you are a CEO does not mean you are father. The difference can be clear. Look up, please. A CEO is about profit, but a father is about the well-being of the people. There is a difference. You can be a CEO in a company. You produce profit at the expense of the health and the wellness of the people. The company is rising, but the people are dying. Are we together now? When you are just CEO, the vision matters to you greater than the people. It doesn't matter whether the people die, let the vision run. Do you know, with all due respect, that this is what has plagued the governments of nations? They respect sometimes ideologies and sentiments above and beyond people. For God so loved people. It was people that led to the idea that he stewarded to bring salvation. Tonight is a call, first, for men, noble men, who will arise to the fatherhood responsibility that they've been trusted with over their families. But then that people will pick this leadership principle of fatherhood and begin to extend it to every area of life, from your work to the running of your vision, the running of ministries. There are many pastors, with all due respect, over congregants, but there are few fathers. A pastor is concerned about the sermon. A pastor is concerned about his vision and those who serve the vision. But a father is concerned about the well-being of the people. And sometimes, even if it means the vision suffering for the people to do well, he knows that the vision is about people. Hallelujah. How many families today, with all due respect, have sacrificial fathers? We're going to the quality of fathers shortly. And the roles of fathers. Would be looking, what qualifies a man to be called father? Is it growth? Is it the beard on your face? Is it the six-pack? What really qualifies a man to be called father? We'll look at that shortly. But it's important for you to know that there is a desperate cry and a desperate need for fathers. The dysfunctional hearts that have been torn aside and torn apart by families, the decadence in society, can in many regards be traced to the quality of fathers that raise the children. I have seen, for an example, very potentially good children. And you would know that these children are not living in this state as a result of rebellion. There was nobody to effectively play that fatherly role. And when they tell you their stories, it's a sad story. And all they needed was someone who would be Abba and Pata. Can I tell you the truth? Source and sustainer go together. You cannot be source and then refuse to be sustainer. You cannot be source and refuse to be sustainer. When you are source, it means you are also willing to be sustainer. And I teach with compassion in my heart and with all due respect to men, fathers. There are many, many men who have children today, with all due respect. Look at me, please. Many of those men, they are aware that they have children, but they do not know whether the children are alive. They do not know whether the children are dead. How can a man have children and for decades you are not aware and you don't care? I just know I have 5 children. I know that the last time I had, they said my second daughter is in Lagos. My third daughter is in Kano. And I had someone has carried the 4th son abroad or so. Let them just live their lives there. No, you are not Abba, sir. You are not Pata. You see that now? Because if you agree to be source, the implication is that you have also taken responsibility to be sustainer. Hallelujah. This is very powerful. And when you are trained well, this is what ladies should look out for. Not just a handsome man. You are looking for the leadership. It is selfish to just think of a man who can take care of you. No. Children will come. Is that man Abba? Is he selfless enough to look beyond himself? Or will he run away because there's no job? God did not run away when man fell into sin. He took responsibility and came and paid the price to redeem that man. There's a need for fathers today. There's a need for fathers. And I say this with all due respect, but it's important that it's been said. Our society seems to have an emergence of men who are passionate about giving birth and not ready to take the responsibility of nurturing. A father who waits for school to play his role is not responsible. A father who is waiting for church to play his role is not responsible. These institutions complement. They don't take over. They didn't give birth to the children. The first revelation of Jesus a child should have is home, not school, not church. It's when home fails that church has to take over, that school has to take over. But how many of you know that the first exposure to wickedness of a child is usually not school, it's from home? The first curse word he hears from home. The first discouraging disposition from home. By the time that child is leaving home, by the time that lady is leaving home, they have been so battered emotionally, their hearts are open to anyone, and usually Satan preys on those people. The first man to say, I love you, is a destroyer. The first man to say, I can empower you, is a cultist. They never had it from Abba. He was source, but he refused to be sustainer. He refused to be protector. He refused to be defender. Hallelujah. I don't want to stand here and tell you sad stories of parents who willingly gave their children into prostitution to feed the family. They knew that they were destroying the destinies of the children and they didn't care. How about men who look at a young teenager gentleman, a young teenager lady, and they ask them, what did you bring today? Please forgive me, but let me tell you the truth. Children should be a blessing to parents, but should not take the responsibility of parents. There are many young children today whose marriages have failed and is failing because there's pressure from parents for the child to first take care of them before taking care of the wife. Now, don't get me wrong. You must show compassion to parents. But if you fail with your life, then don't destroy the one of your children. Are we learning? There are many young ladies, you ask them, how did you get into this life of promiscuity? They will tell you. A young lady of 18 years, 19 years, 16 years, returns back home in the night with 2 million naira, and the father is happy. He cannot ask her where the money came from. He's not a child. He knows. How else should he have gotten the money? Do you believe if that lady gets married, she's going to stay with only one man? It will take the grace of God. Something has happened that only God can help. Is somebody learning now? How about a young man who suddenly out of nowhere, within 2 weeks, he leaves a home and returns back with a car, returns back with some gold, whatever it is, and the parents are clapping for him, calling him all kinds of names. A young teenager leaves home and for 3 days he's not back home and the father does not care. He returns after 3 days. Who is there? It's Peter. Oh, you are back. Okay. Please make sure you close the door. Your son, where did he go to? And after 2 weeks, the police is knocking your door. They say, have you seen this face before? He says, my son. He says, we need him. A young lady gets out early in the morning and you don't see her until 1 week. And you just see the lady returning back. And the father cannot ask, where did you go to? No. Now, this is not to condemn. I told you that every national problem, you see, remember, was first a regional problem that was not solved. And every regional problem is a community problem that was not solved. Every community problem is a family problem that was not solved. With all due respect, every armed robber came from a home. Every terrorist came from a home. Every world changer came from a home. Am I right on that? May your home not produce liabilities to society. In the name of Jesus Christ, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. Then the generation, there is such a concept as the generation of the upright. Not just the man. It started with the man who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commands. Then his seed, raised by that man, becoming mighty. Then it has now become a generation, the generation of the upright. So So what qualities qualify a man? Not all men, generally, but the man, the male figure. What qualifies a man to be called father? Let's start with family life. There are at least three things that qualify a man to be called father. Number one, the first qualification to be called father, are you ready? Is that you must submit to the father. The first qualification to be called father is that you yourself are submitted to the father. I like the way he's called our father, not just my father, our father. You are truly not qualified to be called father in the sense of biblical fatherhood until your submission to father, the God of heaven, is intact. Because it is from him that you can draw the resources of wisdom, the resources of favor to train the seed that comes to you. So the first requirement is your submission to God the Father. Number two, the second qualification. Now, biblically, with respect to family life, please don't confuse. We're talking about other aspects, but with respect to family life. Are we together? Two, marriage. The second qualification to be called father is that you are married. Now, I know sometimes children come out of wedlock. That's a different talk together. But I'm telling you, God's ideal standard, your submission to the father, and then number two, the covenant of marriage. The second qualification. And then number three, the privilege of bearing your biological or adopted children. The privilege of bearing your biological or adopted children. The privilege of bearing your biological or adopted children. You have that down? Number four, the willingness to be responsible. The willingness to be responsible in nurturing and building those children. The willingness to be responsible in nurturing and building those children. Number five, the willingness to create a legacy beyond yourself. The willingness to create a legacy beyond yourself. Five requirements I've given you. Number one, the qualification to be called father with respect to family life, your submission to God the Father. Number two, the covenant of marriage gives you that opportunity. Number three, the privilege of having your biological or adopted children. Hallelujah. Number four, the willingness to be responsible in nurturing, in raising, and in building those children. And then number five, the responsibility of leaving a legacy beyond yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, if these five things are not at work in your life, with respect to family life, you cannot be called father. Now, this is the ideal. What happens when a man has a child out of wedlock? Sad about that. But there is also a way you can be called father. What happens when you adopt children? You can be called father. What happens if you are an elder? You can be called father. But I'm telling you, with respect to family life, these are the keys. That number one, you are submitted to God the Father. That means you know what it means to submit to the fatherhood of God. Number two, the covenant of marriage qualifies you to be called father because that legitimizes your having children. Now, please, I am speaking with respect to the Christian faith. I know that I'm talking to a global audience, and when it has to do with marriage and family life, there are various concepts. I'm not here to discuss any concept that is not Christian. I'm not a psychologist, I'm a man of God. Say amen. So any concept out of the scope of the Christian faith, please permit me, let that be in another discussion by an expert. But this one, our discussion is with respect to scripture. So matters that have to do with cohabitation, matters that have to do with all those other things, honestly, that is not my business in this discussion. Hallelujah. The believer is one who references his thoughts and his views from scripture. Are we together now? So I'm speaking with respect to the word of God, because I understand and I appreciate the fact that the world is diverse, and nations have what they define as family life and what they define as fatherhood. And sometimes from a legal standpoint, from a policy standpoint, from a religious standpoint, you have variations. But I'm attempting to piece together what qualifies a man with respect to family life to be called a father. It was God who created the institution of marriage. So knowing God, the Father, and then the covenant of marriage. If you have a child and it's outside of the covenant of marriage, God is a merciful God. That does not mean you cannot play that fatherly role. Are we together? Remember, God is a merciful God. But I'm defining for you God's ideal. And then number three, the privilege of having children from that union, biological or adopted. And then number four, the willingness. Number four is a very important component of fatherhood. Most times, men stop at three. Once they give birth, they believe they have made their contribution to society and they leave others. Did you know it is painful? But I know that conditions can make it so. But it's painful sometimes that a man actually plans to have four children and he has shared the children among the various places they will go to before they arrive. He already knows that the first child will grow with his elder brother. The second child will grow with a rich friend who runs a charity. The third child will grow, and he just alienates himself. He said, "Mr. Man, do you have children?" I said, "Yes, lots of them." "Where are they?" "It depends on which one now." No. That's not the Bible's way. Apostle, how about matters of polygamy? How about polyandry? How about a lot of other things? Again, I will tell you, I'm not here to create debates around. No. My job is to teach you fatherhood with respect to scripture. God has an ideal standard, but he has the wisdom and mercy to weave through whatever defaults that may have happened. Are we together now? You're understanding me so far? Say amen. Now, very quickly, what is the assignment of a father? What is the assignment of a father? In one word, the assignment of a father is leadership over his children and his household. Please write that down. In one word, the assignment, I'm going to break it down, but if you are to summarize fatherhood with respect to family life, it is providing leadership first for his children and then his household. Did you ever hear a scripture like, "As for me and my house"? Everybody say that. "As for," and that's the language of fathers. When you hear a man say "me" and then extends to "my house," now that's a father speaking. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will go forward. As for me and my house, we will be responsible. As for me and my house," not me alone. "As for me and my children, we will dress well." Not that the father is looking like a king and the children are looking like paupers. Have you seen that happen? You find children with torn trousers, with all due respect, not looking responsible. And then you find a very responsible man. Sometimes you find a wife looking as if she's a caretaker somewhere. And then you find a man and he said, "That's your wife." He just passively says, that's, it's my wife." "What is her name? Ask her." No, sir. That's not Abba. That's not Pata. Is someone learning now? Providing leadership for your children and for your household. So what are the assignments of a father? I'll try to give you seven of them. There are at least seven responsibilities of a true father. Number one, The first responsibility of the father is as a foundation and a sustainer to your home. As a foundation and a sustainer to your home. A foundation. For an ideal family, the children should come from the father. Abba, Pata, you are the foundation. And then you are the sustainer. What does that mean? You are the one who provides the vision and the pattern for running that family. You are the one who provides the vision as the foundation and the sustainer. Where are we going? It is your assignment to educate your wife and then your children. And that's not when children arrive. Where are we going? Hallelujah. With all due respect, did you know that the average man cannot define his purpose for marrying? You ask the person, why did you marry? He said, well, my father told me that you are getting of age. Or they showed me one lady and they said, do you like her? I said, she's all right. So, okay, go and pay her dowry. Or they paid for me. What is the purpose of marriage? Dr. Miles Munro said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, he says, abuse is inevitable. Abuse is inevitable. Hallelujah. I'm not a marriage counselor, far from it. But I can tell you that because there is no vision, most people do not even know that their homes should have visions. Your business has a vision. Why should your home not have a vision? A vision that is known by all, not you alone. Where are we going? What do we exist for? Every organization thrives because it has a vision. It can define where it is going to. You can't just get old and have the children grow and then your wife cannot define, you cannot define, the children cannot define. What are we doing? We are just there. It's a recipe for disaster. Do you know why? Because everybody will invent their idea. Let me tell you this. When Pata brings the vision, then you have a basis for measuring rebellion. Because anyone who walks in outside of the vision can now be seen as a rebel. Are we together? Most times men complain that women try to come up with an agenda. Most times it's because there was no agenda. They did not meet anything and they have to be deployed. They need to feel deployed. So they come up with a vision and the man now becomes insecure. And he says, so are you trying because you are now making money and you have an organization, you are misbehaving. But there was no vision. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. Any people, including spouses. Gentlemen, let me challenge you. Go back home and at least by next Sunday, every man should be able to articulate intelligently from scripture a vision that drives your family. For an example, this is a family born by the word of God with an assignment to raise a godly seed. Are you seeing that now? That will become mighty, serving the purposes of God, demonstrating victory and walking in love. For an example, that is a vision. You teach your children. We're coming to mentorship. There's nothing to teach them when there is no vision. Is someone learning now? Is the reason why there's boredom in many homes? Because vision was designed to occupy you. Vision creates the tasks that occupy people. Who is learning? Koinonia is quiet. I'll say Happy Father's Day after this. The foundation. Gentlemen, all of you please shout this after me. 18 years and above. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to be a true father in every sense of the word. Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to be a true father, to be a foundation, to be a sustainer, to be a provider. Amen. Now listen, please. Part of being the foundation and sustainer requires you being a provider. A provider. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I believe, and verse 8. Please give it to us. A provider. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house. That means there are those that are your own, even though they are not of your own house. Are you seeing it now? There is your own house, your biological children, then there are your own, those who are under your care. The Bible says for doing that, even if he's a prayer warrior, even if he's a fasting giant, he has denied the faith, and that is worse than an infidel. Listen, let me tell you this. This is my personal conviction, that if a man truly walked with God and got married and is walking by the word of God, it's impossible for that man to lack the capacity to take care of the children God gave him. Are we together? Yes. There must be a window through God's mercy and wisdom to at least be able to take care of the family. Now, there are times that things can be harsh economically. I understand. But it cannot be throughout the lifetime. It's a mockery on the fatherhood of God. Provider. 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 You are not working, but you are still giving birth. Provider. Who is learning? It's a very serious discussion. Are we together? No business, no nothing. They call for a financial seminar. Maybe not even here, anywhere. You won't come. The man will not learn anything about being responsible. He does not care. School fees, he's not paying. The bills, he's not paying. That's what it means to be Abba. Don't answer the name if you are afraid of the responsibility. This is true for family, and it also extends anywhere. Man of God, if they call you daddy, be careful to say yes. Because the meaning of that is that you are saying truly, are we together? That you have accepted the rest. It's not just a status for nothing. There is a responsibility. That means there's, you are safe enough for people to cry to. You can rebuke and yet you can cover. The foundation and the sustainer. I pray for you, Koinonia, in the name of Jesus, the grace to truly be a provider. Let it be released upon you. Amen. Are you seeing that an attack on your finances is an attack on your fatherhood? Now, when I talk about provider, I don't just want to limit it to providing food. No, no. The spiritual support, priesthood, is the first area of provision. Providing the spiritual meal that builds your family. And then the emotional support that is needed. You are source and you are sustainer. Look at me. There are many men that take care of their children financially, but are not investing in their spirituality. You are not sustainer. Because man shall not live by bread alone. But you want your children to live by bread alone. You are giving them bread, but you are not giving them the word. Are we together? Let me tell you this. If you had the honor of your parents sending you either to a Sunday school or dragging you even when you were crying to go to church, ensuring you do morning prayer or night prayer or once in a while prayer or both, let me tell you, when you rise and get to the age of discretion and when you have your own home, make sure in their lifetime you find a way of saying thank you, because they contributed to your spiritual upbringing. The Bible said, train up a child. Is it in your Bible? In the way he should go. We're coming there. Because you must be prophetic to know the way he should go. If you are not prophetic, how do you know the way he should go? You will define your own way and send the child to the left, whereas his destiny is to the right. Training a child demands being prophetic, not just being skillful. You must be prophetic. Are we together? Manoah asked the angel and said, what would be the destiny of this child? Let's know what are the rules around this child. And they say he shall be a Nazarene. Make sure that his hair is not cut. It's the secret of his power. Let me tell you this. And I'm sorry again. You are going to hear many stories this night. I'm sorry. From naming your child
to the school he goes to the course that he studies, you must deploy the prophetic. Don't name your child Jabez. I'm not saying literally, you get the idea? Don't name your child Jabez, whereas his destiny should be that of color. No, don't make your children, you know, sometimes you hear the names of children and you wonder, who advised the parents? Be fair on the children. Don't organize a ceremony and when you are under the influence of alcohol, you are now naming the child. This is a child's destiny. And you bring a lot of people who don't fear God and they just come up with devilish names. If names did not matter, why did they say the name that they should call Jesus? If names did not matter, why does God change the name of men? From Jacob, are we to get to Israel? From Abraham to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. Is somebody learning now? You hear a lot of names and some of those names are names of idols. You hear a lot of names and some of those names carry curses. Do you not know that every time people call you, they are not just calling for identification. They are speaking to your destiny. It is true. You hear someone, for an example, called death. Imagine that 20 people shout that name in one day. How long will you live? Or you've forgotten that death and life is in the power of the tongue. It says, do not say before an angel, I made a mistake. Names. Train up a child in the way he should go. Prophetic. Lord, what becomes of this child? My goodness. I've seen families where they took out time to pray before the arrival of every child. The name they gave was revealed. And you see the children now, you know that God carved out their destiny. They didn't just suggest it and say, this name sounds Western. No, no. You are giving birth to prophecy here. How about directing them? I feel like my child must be a lawyer. I respect your perspective. But remember, part of your being a father is that you submit to the Father. So that beyond your opinion, God can tell you what the destiny of that child is. There are many children today who have to make a U-turn. They are just waiting until they get to the age that they will leave their homes so that they can get out of their parents' lives and start reordering their lives. A home should not become a prison. It should be a place of building. Who is learning now? So let me encourage all our fathers here. Please do not turn your home into a prison. The fact that you are head should not make you act as if you are not a child of God. There must be a vision that drives your family. You must provide the spiritual support. Let me tell you this. I understand that sometimes women can be more spiritual than men. But truly, truly, to carry out fatherhood like God intended, the man should be head, even spiritually. Now, I agree that people get married before they get to know certain things. That's why if you marry a man who is not spiritual, you must pay the price of becoming an intercessor. To start interceding and say, Lord, let him find the light. I don't have the time to tell you what happens when you break that order of spirituality. God is a God of order. And there is a reason. It's a great advantage. It brings the family structure to order when the man is spiritual. Look at this. When man fell, everybody look up. How many of you know that God is all-knowing? But when he got to the garden, who did he meet first? Did he meet the woman? No. He's the one who put the order. He said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam responded. He said, I heard your voice, but I hid because I was naked. He said, who told you you were naked? He never spoke to the woman until the husband passed the responsibility to her. He said, the woman you gave me. He said, all right, since you have decided to be irresponsible, woman, I'm now to you. What is this that you have done? And she said, the serpent beguiled me. And then he now went to the serpent. What have you done? And the serpent kept quiet. He didn't blame anybody. Let me tell you, the one who refuses to blame is the one who carries authority. One of the ways you lose your authority is to transfer your responsibility to another. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, he had an answer, but he kept quiet. Learn this. One of the ways you transfer your authority is to transfer your responsibility.
Are we together? He answered nothing. That's what the Bible says. His mouth was shut. Not because he did not have what to say, but he answered nothing.
Why are your 5 children not in school?
I take responsibility. I should have known better. I made a bad investment and all my money has gone. I need the mercy of God. I take responsibility. Now, that's a man God can help.
Are we together now? Yes. That is Abba. That is Pater. I don't know where to go, but I take responsibility. I own up to the fact that it's my responsibility. And God will say, because of my mercy that is new every morning, somebody who has capacity to give children scholarship, please give these 5 children scholarship until university. That's God bridging in. But at least the man took responsibility. There are many men in society today who do not have capacity, and yet they are very proud. Very proud. A particular public speaker in America, he made a very profound statement, and that's what led him into the whole public speaking and so on and so forth. He said as a young boy that while he was growing, they were very poor. Things were not working well. And his mom also was on drugs. It was quite a dysfunctional family. And according to him, he said one time, it was during Thanksgiving, and someone knocked the door, you know, and was bringing turkey, you know, like they always do, maybe religious organizations. They came to knock and, you know, to families that are less privileged, to give them something. And as soon as the father opened the door and saw the turkey, he said, as a little boy, he was happy that at least they would now have food. But because of the pride of the man, he said he was about to bang the door, and the man held the door and said, do not let your pride punish your children. You don't have this thing. These children are going to die, but you will rather your ego remain and then they suffer. And the man was angry. He opened the door, received the turkey and slammed it and dropped it. And he said as a young boy, when he saw that, he said things must change. And that's what birthed a globally renowned person as far as public speaking is concerned. I'm sure some of you saw the pride, with all due respect, the pride of parents. Even when church said, if you need help, come, they won't come. The wife will say, so what do we do now? No, my ego. I don't have a job, I don't have money, but my ego. No, sir. The one who fails to take responsibility also fails to carry authority. Everybody say foundation. Say sustainer. The first assignment of men. That includes being a provider, providing the spiritual support, casting the vision that runs the family, providing emotional support, and then, of course, catering to the well-being of the people. It breaks my heart many times when I see children running around hungry, and to know that there is a father and it does not care. It's a different thing if the father has gone to be with the Lord. You find their hungry, ravaged faces moving around, and yet there is a man who gave birth to them. If you cannot help them, be humble enough to seek for help. If you cannot help them, be humble enough to seek for help. Number 2, the second assignment of fathers. If you are learning, shout amen. Amen. Are you ready? The second assignment of father is as a covering. As a covering. John chapter 17 and verse 12. As a covering. Number 1, foundation and sustainer. He brings the vision. He brings a pattern that drives a family. And then number 2, as a covering, both spiritual and emotional. John 17 and verse 12. Look at Jesus. The Bible says, while I was with them, I kept them in my name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's fatherhood quality. Are we together? Providing that covering and accounting for them. You gave me, I kept, and none is lost. None is lost as covering. Spiritual and emotional covering. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Every father has a responsibility of building emotional stability in the children. It's part of the covering. Are we together? My son, look at me. If they tell you you are stupid in class, know this and hear this from daddy. You are not stupid. Say, I'm a champion. And the young boy said, I'm a champion. Repeat after me, I'm a champion. You say that. And some naysayer somewhere comes to mock the child. And the child does not have to fight. But there is already a garrison. Who is learning now? Yeah, a spiritual covering. That you make up your mind that provided you are at home, your children will not leave for school without you speaking a blessing over them. Apostle, but what if I'm too tired? Abba, Pata. Remember, they came from you and you must be responsible for their spiritual development. Let them learn it. They get up in the morning on their way to school. They come and knock the door and jump on you and you speak over their life. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. The child returns back from school and his performance is very bad. You don't start slicing the children into two groups and showing that you are proud of one and then tearing down the other. That's the beginning of psychological wreckage. No, you are a child of the King. You introduce them to Jesus. You can make it again. You can build again. Spiritual covering. You can detect when evil seems to roam around your life. Are we together? One day you just see your wife and children, all of them getting mysteriously sick for no reason. You just sense in your heart because you are a spiritual covering over your home. Can I tell you, a man of God provides covering over congregations, including family. But with respect to the family, a pastor cannot come and be a covering. Are we together? There are different levels. There is a covering that comes from the pulpit. But with respect to your family, please, every man, wear your priestly regalia and take the helm of affairs spiritually. Charge of the helm of affairs of your family. Don't let the devil destroy people. Your child tells you, I've been having dreams of death for the last 3 days. Say, well, who did not die? Maybe you just saw your grandfather die. You too, you will die. Look at what you are telling a child. That's not Abba, sir. You are partnering with the devil to waste that child's life. And you teach him the next time you have that dream, you show him a scripture and say, in the name of Jesus, say after me. And he's saying it after you. And you bind that spirit. Listen, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that one day, as your children are sleeping, they will find you praying in tongues all over the house. All over the house. Making declarations. Entering their rooms one by one. Laying your hand on them. You are the blessed of the Lord. Great is your peace. They want to wake up and say, no. You just keep sleeping. I'm doing my job. Let me tell you what will happen. One day your child will get up and follow you. He will insist that he will follow you. And the day daddy travels, that's when you watch the wonder of that child. He will enter the room and be shouting and making noise, but God sees what he's doing. Lay hands on his mother, lay hands on his head. Because children are not good listeners, but they are good imitators. Hallelujah. You must take responsibility. Create the Bible study model that builds people in your home. Are we together? Create the prayer model. Don't run a family where there is no defined prayer model. There is no defined Bible study model. Who calls for prayer? Anybody. How do we grow scripturally? Anybody. No, sir. Covering. Providing spiritual and emotional support. If you are learning, say amen. Amen. If you will change, say amen. Amen. Number three. What is the third role of the father? The father acts as a mirror. That means the identity of the child should come from the revelations that the father brings. The father acts as a mirror. Children should discover who they are when they look at their fathers. It's one thing to speak, but it's another thing for him to watch you. With all due respect, the reason why every father should succeed is so that you give your children an opportunity to watch victory and watch dominion. is beyond just achieving things. Let them see victory. Let them see dominion.
Is someone learning?
Every father, in truth, is a mirror. Your children watch you to know the possibilities that exist. Your children watch you to see what triumph looks like. Your children watch you to see what resilience looks like. Your children watch you to see what excellence looks like. Your children watch you to see what it means to be undefeated. If you turn aside in a day of battle, your strength is small. Imagine a child who watches the father crying every day, not under the anointing. The child comes, "Daddy, why are you always crying?" It's a life. You may think you are expressing sympathy, but you are a mirror that is distorted. Every time a mirror is distorted, what happens? You don't see well. It's not accurate. And some mirrors, my goodness, are so battered and broken. They refract every kind of thing. And the child just stands to watch and he cannot see a true picture of himself. In the name of, I told you that transformation happens at two levels. One, looking unto Jesus. Number two, followers of them. So as your child looks up to Jesus, then he becomes a follower of them. And that first them is the Father. Is the Father. "Daddy, what is this?" "This is an award." "Where did this come from?" "It came from diligence and hard work and the mercy of God." You see that now? You will not fail in the name of Jesus. I pray for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of your children, you will not fail. Amen. Shout amen. Amen.
We look to Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh. We look to Yahweh. Forever, Yahweh, we look to Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh. Yahweh, we look to Yahweh. Forever, Yahweh.
Listen, if you are a man of God as a father, make sure you win. Let your life be a mirror. You are a man of God as a director. You are a man of God, you are a father as a CEO. I told you this goes beyond family life. Let me tell you something. It is powerful to be a winner. And a winner such that those who follow you watch you win. You do something to their spirits. You let them know that it is possible. One of the reasons why I love to win is not for myself. It's so that you can see that you can take the word of God. You can put it to work. And it doesn't matter who says what. You will beat life at his game and come victorious. Someone shout, "I'm a winner." Shout, "I'm victorious." Shout it again. Say, "I'm a winner." Listen, let me tell you the truth. As a father, whether you like it or not, your life is a mirror. You define God to the understanding of your children through your failures, through your victories, through your compromises, through your integrity. You are selling God. You are a mirror. You are showing them what victory looks like, or you are making defeat marketable. As you give excuses for failing, they are watching you. As you insist, they are watching you. Mirror. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Every time God gives us an assignment as a ministry, and as we do what he has granted us to do, and as he brings great victory, we return back triumphant, not just for myself, but I also rejoice with everyone. Do you know why? Some of us came from families where we never saw an opportunity to see what global impact looks like. We never saw an opportunity or had an opportunity to see what territorial transformation looks like. And as you look to models, what happens is that God begins to show you that this is possible. You are like a crippled man who is sitting at a beautiful gate. Something is happening. That you can do ministry with integrity. That it is possible to beat finances hands down. That it is possible to love the Lord, to be anointed, that it is possible to be balanced. It is possible to defeat the arsenals of darkness and live as though Satan does not exist. You are a mirror. As I live my life, I am conscious of this, that mirror. The question I want to ask you right now, did your child get discouraged when they studied your life? If so, we need to clean up that mirror. Some of you, the mirror is not cracked, but you know how a mirror can have handprints, fingerprints, and be so dirty, it's not clear. The child cannot see victory. The child cannot see glory. How do you know your child is seeing victory? He will make a boast about you gladly. And when I say a child, I don't in this case now mean a biological child. Let me tell you the truth. By the mercies of God, one of the reasons why you trust what God is doing is not just because God is glorified. It's because you are also seeing victory. You are seeing victory. It is wonderful to see victory. That's why we testify when people are promoted. That's why when people rise, it's an encouragement. When people give testimonies here of all sorts, are we together? These are submissions of victory. I pray for you again. For the sake of your fatherhood, for the sake of your leadership, may you begin to record strange victories from tonight. Shout amen like you're receiving. Think of what it will mean to your children. Think of what it will mean to your organization. By the time you get up one day and say, children, we're packing out of this house. To where? Or we are leaving this organization. You say, God has been faithful. Come, I'll take you somewhere. This is a house that has been built. And they said, Daddy, you did this. And the child will say, as a little boy, I will also build one too. You have become a mirror. Versus, what is the name of that man at the gate? You say, he's our landlord. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. Why is he here? I could not pay the rent. What do we do? I don't know. Mirror. Daddy, I'm hungry. There is no food. Why is there no food? I don't know. Mirror. You are showing the child that failure is normal. That he should expect it. That he should sit in darkness. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Every wrong image that you have given your children, given your subordinates, given those who are under your care, that is not a reflection of genuine leadership, genuine winning biblical fatherhood. May that image change now. Victory, sir. Victory, sir. Mighty things in righteousness. When Jesus lived his life, did you know how he encouraged the disciples? They saw victory in his life. Even though he went to the grave, but after 3 days he arose, victorious. He gave them the courage to go and declare good news. Victory is powerful, not just for the one commanding the victory, but for the sake of those following you. Is somebody learning now? Once there is somebody following you in your own way, you are father. Once there is somebody looking up to you in your own way, you are father. Once there is somebody drawing inspiration from you in your own way, you are father, male or female, and you must take the responsibility of giving them a picture of what victory looks like, what prosperity looks like, what integrity looks like, what winning all the time looks like. Now, thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. There are children who can beat their chest. When they see problems, they say, I know my daddy will do something about it. You have become their version of Superman, not the one on what they call that thing. You have become that version. Children are not very good listeners, but they are good imitators. When you see your child carry a towel or the mother's wrapper and ties his neck as if he would die and flies up from a chair, who is he imitating? Talk to me. Where did he learn it from? Do you know why? Because they built Superman to not fail. The guy can jump from a building and land standing, and the child says, this is it. This is my destiny. But when his father jumps in life, he dies. And the child said, this man, I don't know what this, my father's definition of victory is. In the name of Jesus, life will lift you up and you will stand strong for the sake of your children. Say amen.
Let me challenge you. You are father over your organization. Don't fail for the sake of those who look up to you. Are we together now? Your subordinates draw inspiration from you. They may not tell you, but they do it. They do it, sir. It is beautiful to follow a winner. It is beautiful to follow victorious people. Those who walk the word, give it time and that it produces. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up. Everybody, but particularly the men, say after me, in the name of Jesus, I reject failure for the sake of the kingdom and my family. I reject failure. The wisdom, the faith, the empowerment to win all the time, I receive. Say it again, the faith, the wisdom, the empowerment to be victorious all the time. I receive it. I reject failure. In the name of Jesus, say I reject failure. I declare that I'm a winner for my family, a winner for my children, a winner for my spouse, a winner for the sake of those who look up to me. Don't tell me about your background. Don't tell me about your failures of yesterday. No, it went with yesterday. Allow me to walk with the Holy Spirit and re-engineer your mind and plant in you a winner's mentality. A winner's mentality. I don't see failure in my life. No. I am colorblind to failure. My eyes cannot see it. I fail to recognize its presence. It is true. This is not just some church gibberish. I'm telling you. Let me tell you. Gentlemen, there is a level of aggression you must give life to force your portion. If you allow the devil keep playing all these things, it won't work. I'm charging men to carry that lion warrior mentality. God cannot give me children and yet I will not have the money to take care of them. From this day forward, I take responsibility. The name of Jesus Christ. God cannot give me a vision and yet not have the resources to drive it. For those of you who have been on any project that has refused to finish, a building that has refused to be complete, in the name of Jesus, so that you will be a mirror of victory, may God surprise you in this season. Please receive it. May my God surprise you in this season. You will win in such a way that your family will marvel, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. I know this little. In as much as women are mandated to respect and honor their husbands unconditionally, at least I've read this much, and I've listened to those who know what they are saying this much, that victory and success enhances, it may not be the basis for it, but it enhances respect and honor. Are we together? You can't be a total failure with additions of decline and yet you want respect every day. It may be very difficult. Men, you will win. The men are not shouting. You will win. In the name of Jesus Christ. The question you have not been able to answer your children, as the glory of God, the power of God rests on your head, you will have the boldness to tell them, it was only for a season, but now we are back. We are back victorious. We are back powerful. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. The Father as a mirror. The identity of the child, the identity of those who come from you, is derived from the excellence of your own life. Refuse to fail. Refuse to fail.
for the sake of God's glory. Pay attention to the things that make for winning for the sake of those who look up to you. Hallelujah. After service, most times I have the opportunity to celebrate and, you know, just greet our children here. And I've told you the story. Do you know that when I started this thing, many of the children, some of them were not confident enough. Some that are blessed, reached, good schools, where their minds have been worked on, will come, just greet you. But others will just stand back because they don't know if they are wrong. And then as we began to embrace them unconditionally, something started happening to them. They started having the confidence. They could now talk without fear. Some of them may not come from, you know, families that are so privileged financially, as it were, but they still have that confidence. And here's my point. Something started happening to these children. And do you know, I remember one of them went to meet the dad and told the father he must sew this thing that I'm wearing. He wearied the parents and said cried and said they must get him his version of it. And the day they got him his version, he could not wait for me to come there. As soon as he hugged me, he just said, look at my own version of this clothes. Hallelujah. I have in my house piles of letters and drawings from your children that came. Many of them write this. Some of them have their own now. They have weekly editions, like newspaper. Some of them try to draw love. Some of them try to draw me while I'm preaching. And you cannot imagine how handsome I look in those pictures. Are we together? But the point is, it is not about the drawing. It's the healing that is happening. It's a correction of a picture. They are seeing that victory is possible. In the name of Jesus Christ, again, I pray for you. Where you have given your children and those under you a distorted vision, the grace to begin to correct it today, in the name of Jesus, receive it. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Very quickly. Number four. What is the fourth role and assignment of a father? Are you ready? All fathers should be disciplinarians. Please write it. All fathers should be disciplinarians. The formation of character and moral excellence in the children, in the organization, the definition of scriptural boundaries is the responsibility of the father. A disciplinarian is not a wicked man. A disciplinarian is one who disciplines, one who creates his, like the potter and the clay, is responsible for chiseling out flesh. Are we together? Character formation and moral upbringing is at the core of the fatherhood responsibility, whether organizationally speaking or in the family. Let me tell you something I've learned. Love people with all your heart, but never become too connected to anybody to a point that they outgrow your correction. It's bad leadership. Love people sincerely. Let them see that you love them. But never get people to the point where they believe that they outgrow your correction. If they outgrow your correction, it means they should not be under your covering. Is someone learning? Don't bring somebody to your house that while your children are obedient, the person feels he's too big. You are paying his school fees, yet he defines what time he returns home. He defines what he wants to do. You call for prayer and he murmurs his way. No, sir, not in my house. Everything under my roof will serve my God. If you are too big, it means you have qualified to get out of my house. Hallelujah. Is somebody learning? Human beings are very interesting. They don't easily yield to discipline. And they have different strategies. Some will whip up emotions. Some will be angry. But let me tell you, every father knows that you must love your child tomorrow more than what you see today.
And sometimes you need to stamp your feet. This is also so in organizations. Let me talk to you for one moment, leaders. Never get too personal with people that they feel in their heart they are exempted from the rules that bring order. Something would have happened in your organization that would destroy you. Are we together now? Now, I can be a very free-spirited person. And I don't relate with everybody at the same level. But never to a point where if duty calls, you cannot rebuke. Then it means you should not be there. You have lost your fatherhood. The day you cannot correct in righteousness, the day you cannot administer discipline, I tell you this, you have lost your fatherhood. Praise God. And one of the ethics of remaining a disciplinarian is to be careful what you collect. Be careful what you collect from people. There is a way you collect certain gifts as a man of God. Certain gifts in your office, you will never have the moral credence to say anything again. Who agrees with me? After all, you collected it too. So how are you going to rebuke anybody? Once your child is still under the age of discretion, please obtain grace from God. I'm not talking of abuse of children. Again, I'm not an expert in it, but I can tell you there are biblical ways to ensure that your children or those under your care. Let me tell you this. Be mindful of those you bring into your house, whether relatives or maybe people from the village. As they arrive, welcome them and let them know the rules of staying in the house. Don't carry your idols from Laban's house or from wherever and want to journey with me. No, this is a new order. You say it in love. Will you be hated for a while? Absolutely. But the ability to be controversial, yet sincere and visionary, is what defines your fatherhood. Don't be afraid of being misunderstood. You are raising people. Don't be afraid. Let me tell you, the pressure to be loved by everyone destroys your fatherhood. They will understand later on. There are people it will take 5 years to understand, and they will appreciate you. Remember some of our parents, as harsh as they were while we were growing, we hated them so much. But after we became adults and we saw what their discipline saved us from. Is there any witness like that? Versus the one whose parents allowed them to be lawless. And some of them today have even lost their lives. Because they drank themselves to stupor and drove themselves to the grave. May you never love your children to a point that discipline looks like something you cannot do. That's not love. That's destruction. He who the Father loves, find that scripture for us, he chastises. I'm not talking of being very abusive, that you beat your child as if you want to kill them. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are many ways to discipline children. Many ways to discipline subordinates. For whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? Come on, talk to me, Koinonia. And he scourged every son whom he receives. Even for Jesus, he said, I see the chastisement of his soul. The travail, the chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon him. Go back to your organizations and put order. You are Pata, you are Abba. They are stealing around. Don't say it doesn't matter. I don't want to be this and that. No. I don't want to be controversial. They are stealing, they are misbehaving, they are misrepresenting the image of the organization. Are we together? You say resume by 7. Somebody resumes by 10. And you don't have the courage to drive the person, nor to correct the person. You are losing your fatherhood in that organization. I'm not talking about being insecure. Can I tell you something? Sometimes as leaders, we feel when you correct in righteousness, it will be perceived as if it's insecurity. Whether the people perceive it as insecurity or not, that's their cup of tea. But as a leader, you do what is needful. Who is learning now? Don't isolate 4 children. And then when one does something wrong, you rebuke the person, then leave others who are doing the same thing. When you create double standards in your home, in family, people notice it. Hallelujah. A disciplinarian.
But how many of you know that the discipline starts from you? Hallelujah. You cannot send your child to go and buy you 10 bottles of alcohol. And when he gets home, you look at him and say, let me tell you, the day I see you, even if it's a cup of this thing, I will kill you by myself. No, sir. Bad mirror. Bad mirror, sir. Are we together? Discipline. Foolishness, give us that scripture, is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it how far? Very far from him. Like I said, it doesn't just mean your biological children. Let me tell you the truth. Most times, and I speak in organizationally, it is a usual temptation for those under a leader to at one point or the other grow in their minds and believe that they know more than the person. It's a temptation. It happened to Lucifer, he failed. Are we together? It's true. There are times you can be a director, your assistant, or those under, they'll start not seeing it in their heart. Could it be that I'm greater than this? It's a temptation. Are we together? You put a disciplinary measure to teach people. Counseling is part of discipline. Rebuke is part of discipline. Withdrawal of privileges is part of discipline. Because there are people who will never learn until the privilege that created the rebellion is withdrawn. Then they now come to their senses. The prodigal son would never have returned home until the things he had reduced and he was now left with the swine. Praise the name of the Lord. Discipline. Never get to a point where you are too afraid to discipline, to form character and moral excellence. Again, I pray for everyone, particularly the men, the grace to go and deal with everything that looks like rebellion in your home, the grace to deal with everything that looks like a growing onslaught of darkness, disrespect, dishonor in your home and in your organization. I release that grace upon you right now. When you say you love a child, the meaning of that is that you want to see the child morally excellent, morally upright. And even if it means temporarily, the child misunderstands you, so be it. Provided his future will be great. Now, let me put a balance. When you vent out anger and frustration, it's not discipline, it's immaturity. Are we together? There are many, many people today, what they have done to their children and what they have done to their subordinates is not discipline, it's insecurity. There are people who are so insecure, they would not dare watch anybody rise to notoriety. This happens with pastors. This happens with leaders. The moment someone's head begins to get lifted, they feel threatened like Herod and they start coming in with all kinds of things. When you study leadership, there is a dimension of leadership where the pride of the leader is not the results you are having, is that you can replicate yourself in others. Now, truth be told, as you replicate yourself in others, not all of them will be loyal and faithful, but that is the cross of leadership. Is someone learning now? Don't stop people from rising because you think you have to be alone. You see it happen with politicians. You see it happen with preachers. You see it happen even with fathers and children, among spouses. The balance there is discipline is not subjugating people so that your insecurities remain managed. No. The cure for insecurity is not stopping the shine and the glory of others. It's going to deal with it in the secret place. It gives me joy in my heart. As I watch people rise in this ministry, ministerially, governmentally, financially, great joy, I tell you. His seed shall be mighty, not in heaven, upon the earth. Then the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. There are preachers today, don't tell them certain testimonies. Especially if you are a son, you are in trouble. God bless me and somebody gave me a duplex.
He said, what is the name of the somebody that has not... No, please. We must be secured enough to rejoice in the rising of others. Jesus gave us the same Holy Spirit he had, and he went to heaven and was secured enough that we'll be able to represent him. Can I tell you? This is what I believe. It is better for you to raise men and let them make mistakes in your presence. Correct them, rebuke them, build them in your presence. Let it not be that it's in heaven you'll be watching the poor leadership that everybody pretended around you because you were too insecure for them to be sincere. It's better that I have a son, a daughter, no matter how rebellious you are, let it happen in my presence. Let me deal with it. Is somebody learning? You must be disciplined and you must install discipline. Don't allow lawlessness in your organization. When people are lawless and they begin to feel high-minded and they feel you are not worth counseling, you are not worth advising them, call them and tell them, listen, this family does not work that way. This organization does not work that way. Are we together? And teach them what should be. One of the worst ways to manifest fatherhood as far as counseling is concerned is to use the word, I don't like it. You are too small a reason for people to stop things. I can't stop something just because you don't like it. A wiser way is that the word of God prohibits it, or this is against your destiny. Many times we use the word, I don't like it. That means you have defined yourself as the standard for right and wrong. It is dangerous. So people will pretend around you because they know you don't like it, but they have not changed. There are many parents who believe their children are angels until you hear the other side of those children. They will argue with everybody and say, my daughter, I'm not sure she knows this and that. Not knowing that they have trophies in bad things. Is someone learning? A father is a disciplinarian. He's responsible for character formation and building moral values. Teach your child to greet people. Teach your child to not interrupt conversations of elderly people. People are talking and a young boy just runs around, pushes everything. If he's a baby or a toddler, that's fine. But a child that has gotten to an age of discretion, you see society with all this level of lawlessness. Someone just walks up to an elderly man, gives him a slap, I'm not talking of a little child, and runs away. And the mother says, what will I do with you, Junior? What will you do with him? Hallelujah. Visitors place something and the boy steals it. Every thief started by stealing meat in the pot. Oh, well, most thieves, he will steal meat, he will steal bread, he will steal a lot of things. And this bread, where did you get it from? And he just laughs and he says, you, no, sir. That's an armed robber growing. Again, I pray for you. Laugh, but learn. In the name of Jesus. What you need to solve now, so that it will not kill you tomorrow, may God give you the courage to solve it now. Listen, never postpone discipline. It will cut short your glory tomorrow. What you can deal with now, it is cheaper to deal with it now. Train the child while he's under 10. Don't come and try to train a 31-year-old man. No, you can't discipline a man who already has his wife and children. As what? Even the law will not spare you. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far. You employ somebody from day one, he's misbehaving. You call him, you teach him the rules, he's misbehaving. Let him go. It's as simple as that. Even if he insults you, let him insult you from afar. You bring somebody from the village. Don't say we are related. He's my uncle, sisters. No. Young man, we are happy to take you and to help you. Provided you will listen. He causes you trouble. You go to the police station once, twice,
Three times, call the family and say, please, I have to send this boy away. The day he's ready to grow. Can I tell you, if you don't stop it, your children will follow that person. I assure you, it's a matter of time. When wickedness is not clamped, it becomes marketable. Marketable. Number five. Fathers are builders. They are mentors. They are coaches. Fathers are builders. They are mentors. They are coaches. It is the responsibility of a father to teach your children the laws of life, to help them understand how to win and to be victorious in life. Not just by watching your life, but by educating them. There is only so much schools can do. Fathers are builders. They are mentors. They are coaches. Capacity building. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Part of building them is to obtain grace from God to send them to good schools. Good schools that make their being educated worth the while. Now, I know it's not easy. All fingers are not equal. But in the name of Jesus, may God help you. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Fathers are builders. You teach them what they need to learn. You build skill. You build capacity. Let them learn how to solve problems. You can teach them how to save. You can teach them how to invest. You can teach them how to learn to provide solutions. They are not too young to learn. That's fatherhood. Building competence. Building capacity. I think it was one of the video. I think it was Isaac's son or so. I saw a video one time. The gentleman was playing keyboard. And I saw he was playing keyboard beautifully. And I smiled. I said, this boy you see, in addition to all of those things, it's not just school alone. There is something he can do that will now heal him from low self-esteem. Can I tell you the truth? Competence is related to confidence. Competence is related to confidence. One of the cures for low self-esteem is to be a master at something. A master enough to not be afraid at the presence of anybody. Not everything, but something. And let me tell you the truth. Particularly for those of us who did not have the privilege to be directly mentored by parents, by fathers, by leaders. Make sure that you spend time with your children. Don't be busy trying to make money and let somebody else use another curriculum to raise your child. Are we together? It's not easy, but find a way. A senior friend that I respect so much. I've studied his family life model. He's such a busy man. But no matter where he is in the world, once it is 10 p.m., he prays with his family. And he makes sure, sometimes if he's busy, he will give his son the responsibility to start the prayer. Then he will wrap up. Man, I've not seen too many disciplined children like that man's children. And they are grown. They are grown. Some of them are in the university, but they are disciplined. You give them money, they will return with change. You want to just give them money, they say, no. My father takes care of me. Honestly, that's what they say. Very responsible. They will greet you, very cautious, and yet they are very wealthy. Prosperity does not have to produce rebellion. Don't make being wealthy be a cause. Is somebody learning? Be a coach. Be a mentor. Teach them. Oh, you did not get it well. Okay, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Don't be too busy raising others and then leave your family. Let me tell you the truth. Growing up, I saw this mistake with many families. With all due respect, many fathers did not focus on building their family. They built churches. They built organizations. They were called great names outside, but in their homes,
They were not noblemen. It must change. And some of us are too quick to criticize and condemn the fathers, and we are replicating the same thing now. It's not only charity that begins at home. Mentorship too begins at home. Training, a champion begins at home. In the name of Jesus, spend time with them. That includes your organization. Do you know? I made up my mind even before God brought this ministry to this level, that by the mercies of God, I will do the best I'm able to not be overly distant from the people I'm called to serve. It's a mistake leaders make. As they grow, they get so far apart, they do not even know what happens to those who they have been sent to. I will not change the world and then lose out on you. Look at me. I'm called to make my own contribution in getting the life, the wisdom, and the power of God across the nations. But Koinonia, let me tell you, unapologetically so, the transformation starts from you. From you. And I mean what I'm saying. Hallelujah. It's the reason why I do the best that I'm able to do, as much as I'm around, to be here, to keep pouring in, and to do everything that I need to do. I rather fail in all the crusades. That's a mixed multitude. I rather fail in all the global conferences. But if I win in imparting the life of God in you, even if it is 100 of you, I can say I did well. I will never go around the world and then leave my constituency to the devil. You are first my constituency. Then out of your transformation, it spills over to others. You believe that? Say amen. Hallelujah. Mentorship. Building. Every good thing that you know, transfer it to your children. Transfer it to your children. Let them learn godliness from you. Let them learn prayer from you. Don't just tell them about it. Don't just rebuke them. The difference between discipline and mentorship is that discipline is corrective. Mentorship is educative. You are, and transformative. You don't just wait until they fail. You show them the way. Show them the way. Show them the way. Gather the people in your organization. Have a 1-day retreat. Have a 2-day retreat. With all due respect, pastors, leaders, don't just celebrate that you are getting profit in your organization. Gather your leaders, even if it's your core leaders. Pour into them from your heart. Every building stands because of the pillars. Are we together? Make sure that your pillars, I think it was while we're in Canada also, during one of the preachings, I said, guard your pillars. Protect your pillars. Hallelujah. Building you is my priority. Touching the nations is part of the assignment, but it's not the foundational. Building you is my priority. Every father is a builder. Every father is a mentor. Every father is a coach. Can I tell you? I pray for you. May your children never run away from you because they are wrong. Listen to what I just said before you say amen. May your children not have to come to you only when they are successful. May your children be so secured in your fatherhood and your leadership that even when they don't get it right, they don't run to another person. They run to you. Hallelujah. May it never be that your child will discuss matters of transformation with another person and not come to you as a father. It's a betrayal of your fatherhood. There are many people who are only proud of their children when they win. When they do well academically, you are my boy. When they bring money, you are my boy. But when they fail, you are mommy's boy. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. He must become your child when he wins and when he fails. And you sit down and you are willing to push him. One of these are children that God has granted us the privilege to help in school. He didn't do very well. The result was quite bad. I think it was in Zaria. You know, very bad. And the mother was afraid to bring the results, you know, because they were like, how many children? 4 of them thereabout. And when she presented the result, I'm sure she was afraid. Will he pay the school fees again and this? And I looked at the results and I said, this result is very poor. And I looked at the child. I said, listen to me. You could see that he was palpably afraid. I said, no, there can be a way out. I think you are just playing. You can. Are you going to improve? He said, yes. I said, okay, we'll try to find a lesson teacher and help the person. But I mean, you could see the relief. It was as if he was coming to see a monster. Because that's how many fathers present themselves to be. I'm praying for you again now that you understand. May your child not run away from you when he needs to run close to you. Even if he's called a prodigal child, my prayer for you is that when he's thinking of coming back home, let it be that I will arise and go back to my father, not a stranger. The prodigal son said, listen, I've wasted my life. I've gotten it wrong by every parameter, but I don't have any other person. I still have a father. I will arise and get back to my father. You know, somebody asked me a question a few years ago, and he said, Apostle, what will you do if you have a son that you've done your best towards and he's just become a lawless boy, and as a man of God that is known, everybody knows you, that this is your son and this boy is a lawless boy. Don't you think it will bring shame and reproach? And you've done everything you know to do and he will not change. And I thought about it for a moment. I said, I will stand before the whole world and I'll say, this is truly my son. His life is not a reflection of the investments I've made in him. I will never deny him as a father, but to be sure that he made his choices, I regret the fact that he's chosen this way, and I will keep playing whatever role I can play, but let it be sure that one, I will not be ashamed of him, but two, I cannot change him beyond his willingness to change. That's it. Or I will stand before the whole world and I'll say that. I can tell you that. Maybe this has helped another parent who is angry right now and saying, listen, people look at me and they think that the lawlessness of my children is lack of discipline. I want to submit to you that in my small life, I have seen parents who gave their best. They poured their lives. They gave their all. The children chose as an act of their will to not be a reflection of an excellent life. For such parents, listen to me. Stand tall with your head up high. Both God and us are witnesses that you've done your best. Society may not have too many people who are thoughtful enough. People commend, we live in a day where people say all kinds of things over matters they know nothing about. But there are reasonable people who know that you have done the best. I've had the honor of counseling children who brought great shame to their parents. They gave their best. They sent them to school. They did whatever. They poured their life. Some of those children have become drunkards, drugs, all kinds of things. Or perhaps running an organization where you gave your best. There's something you need to understand about men. Men have their will. And if they can use their will to reject God, they can also reject knowledge. When you do your best before God and they reject it, please find rest. It may be a painful rest, but find rest. It is your life. It is your choices. It is your consequence. Let me say that again. Your life, your choices, your consequence. But fathers are builders. Two more. What else is an assignment of a father? A father is a bridge. All fathers are bridges. They provide leverage. The word leverage comes from the word lever. That means an advantage. Fathers must give their children and all under them access to connections, access to relationships, access to resources that they would not ordinarily have gotten to by themselves. A true father is a bridge. A bridge, providing leverage, providing access and connection to relationships, to opportunity, to information. Ideally, the time it took a father to be successful should not be the time it takes his son to be successful. Are we together? If it took you 10, 20 years to understand life, and then to become a winner in experience, your assignment is to shorten it by as much time as you are able to for your son, if they are willing to listen. But the problem, unfortunately, is that many fathers did not learn how to win. Many of them failed, and they still fail. So they are not able to raise victorious people. They only share wise sayings and opinions that do not have the power to define a victorious life. Fathers are bridges. Let me pray for everybody here. As a father and as a leader exhibiting fatherhood, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, may your life be a bridge that shortens the journey for all those who are coming after you. May they find life, may they find victory, may they find success on time, because they are able to climb your shoulder, because they are able to pass through you. In the name of Jesus, may you fight certain giants that your children will not need to fight again. One day I was having a little retreat, and I prayed a sincere prayer, and I'll tell you that prayer. I said, Father, I cry unto you. Every battle that my children will have to fight because of me, please transfer it to me. Let me fight it. Let them fight their own battles, not my battle. So let me pray that prayer for you. May your children not fight your battles. I pray for you from the depth of my heart. May you not dodge a Goliath that reappears in the destiny of your children. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look at me. And I say this with every sense of responsibility. We're about to pray. In Africa, you know why people attain success late? Because a major part of their life is spent fighting the battles that their parents ran away from. By the time they now get to ground zero, almost half of their life is gone. And they cannot start living now because the leverage was not there. A man who later became a director in his life, a man who became a manager in his life, a man who all the governors were his classmates, he could not give the son the leverage of any relationship. So the boy has to start from ground zero. As a copper, nobody to help him. As a young graduate, nobody to help him. He has to start from ground zero. May your name not be a padlock. Honestly, I pray from the depth of my heart that by the time your children are ready to get to certain areas in life, your sons and daughters spiritually, economically, may your name become a key in the name of Jesus Christ. That a door that should take 10 years, may it be open in one day, in one month, in one week, in the name of Jesus Christ. May my children never fight my battles. No, no. There are many fathers, with all due respect, they have gone to be with the Lord, but while they were alive, they hated people, they fought people. Some of them rose to managerial levels. Anytime you are talking about wickedness, they mention their name. Now they've gone, and the children cannot rest. There are battles coming from everywhere, to the point that the children have to remove their surname to find peace. Whose child did you say you are? So, 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 and so. The one that worked in a National Population Commission, get out of my office. Your father was a wicked man. He's the reason why my mother died. That should not be your testimony. A good man liveth an inheritance. Is somebody learning now? I hope this message is burning into your spirit. The responsibility of fatherhood. Some of you who have the privilege of working in government parastatals, let me tell you the truth. And let me borrow this for a minute to talk to politicians. Politicians at any level, you will not be there forever. That is the truth. And the best thing you can do is to leave a legacy. I'm wrapping up with that. A legacy that goes beyond you. There are people today, I'm telling you, if you mention their name across any quota, the memory of their contribution, they are gifts to men. They are gifts to men. They are gifts to men. At the risk of sounding proud, I cannot tell you how many people who got jobs today because they mentioned Joshua Selman or they mentioned Koinonia. I cannot tell you how many court cases, and at the risk of sounding proud, court cases that were buried, people who would have been in jail today. It is not only God's name that should be excellent. Your name too should be excellent.
Is somebody learning now? That's a landlord wants to drive somebody and he just looks at you and sees a sticker at your door. And he says, is this sticker real? And he says, what do we do now? Okay, you know what? Let's give you 3 months. Let's give you 1 year. Versus the one that they wanted to just bless you and say, sorry, what is that in your hand? Oh, you are the one, huh? Okay, get out of my house. Get out of my office. Fathers are bridges. Once you get to age 30, this is my personal opinion. The moment you get to age 30, living for yourself alone comes to an end. This is my personal opinion. The moment you get to age 30, living for yourself alone becomes selfish. You have exhausted the limit of selfishness. From age 30, any decision you make that you did not factor your wife, your children, or those who come from you is a selfish decision. This is painful, but just see it like an injection. Let it just absorb the pain small and then listen again. Because some of you need to hear this. Did you hear what I just said? The reckless spending, in spite of the fact that you have 5 children, God is watching. And your children are also watching. We live in a world today where whether to be alive or to be dead, certain parents are not useful to their children. Whether they are alive or dead, it makes no difference because their life is not a bridge. Again, I'm praying for you. If your parents failed you, may you not fail your children. And if you fail your children and you are still alive, then there is still hope to correct it. Even if you cannot correct the home, you can correct yourself for the sake of conscience. There are many parents today, you know, again, it's a personal opinion. I cannot understand why a man with children, with all due respect, you find the person in some pub somewhere, spending money, wasting money, and that man has no savings for the children. There's no house built. There's nothing anywhere, and the man is just traveling around. There are men who have been around the whole world, and their children have not gone to one nation. Are we together? There are men wearing designers, and their wives and children do not even have good clothes. Selfishness is not something that age removes. No, it takes revelation and determination to be selfless. I've seen that happen. Where wives become like the first daughter in the home because the man cares less about what happens to anybody. Gentlemen, if you are like that, the grace to change, let it be released upon you now. Fatherhood is defined by sacrifice. If a man wears rags for the sake of the destiny of his children, you made a wise bargain. Hallelujah. Bridges. A leverage. Number 7. What is the 7th assignment of a father? Every father must play the role of a prophet, speaking into the child's future and guiding him to find purpose. Every father, the 7th role, assignment of a father, you see it consistent in the Bible, is to be the prophet over the destiny of your child, over the destiny of your subordinates, over the destiny of those who are under your care. Speaking into the child's future and guiding that child to find purpose. God blessed man. Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob, blessed Esau. You see it all through scripture. Jesus breathed upon them, opened their understanding. Receive the Holy Ghost. You see it there. It is very biblical for parents to bless children, to prophesy over them. Hallelujah. Blessings are so important. Prophecy is so important that after Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking it was Esau, Esau returned and says, is there not a blessing that is left? He says, none. Esau, as an adult, began to cry. It means there is something in the blessing. Everybody say, I receive grace to use words as prophetic tools in the life of my children. Now all men say it, say in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace and the responsibility to speak prophetically over my children until their destinies manifest.
Yes, sir.
To speak. You may not have money, but you have an anointing. You can speak in the name of Jesus. You will not fail. Even if you have failed as a father, you can have the courage to tell your son, I didn't go to school. I didn't have the privilege. We don't have our own house. But my son, I bless you. By the privilege of fatherhood, I speak over your life. Don't have your child return and say, you know, I don't have a job. And say, well, Nigeria is like that. That your wicked uncle in NMPC. We've been calling him. He did not respond. No, sir. You become a prophet. Prophesying over the life of your child is not something that you should do optionally. It's a responsibility. Are you seeing why I speak over your life every week? Can I try it right now? The Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it be from glory to glory for you. From grace to grace for you. Everywhere you've been marked for defeat, I declare you rise to be victorious. You will surprise all who hate you. In the name of Jesus Christ. From glory to glory, that is your destiny. More and more, that is your destiny. I speak life into every endeavor that you are involved with. No failure. No failure. No failure. You must learn to speak. Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can this wayward child live? Son of man, can this broken home live again? Son of man, can this prodigal child return home? Only thou knowest. He said, let me teach you. There is a responsibility you have. Prophesy. You don't have the money to send the child to school. The child may disrespect you and may not even listen to your counsel. But you have the power to prophesy. Every man here is a prophet. Every leader is a prophet. You must obtain the grace to prophesy. I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a sound. Bones began to come to bones. Your child's destiny began to come together. Your business began to come together. God is my witness, and may He forgive me if I'm making an exaggerated statement. There is no time I pray that I mention koinonia, that I don't open my mouth and prophesy. I've done this for decades. In the name of Jesus, koinonia, glory to glory, grace to grace. Everyone becoming robust in the spirit. Everyone prospering. That's my assignment. While you are at your place of work, I'm praying for you. He said, brethren, pray for us. Part of my priestly assignment is to pray for you. To pray for you. Not pretentiously. If I tell you I'm praying for you, you believe me, I'm praying for you. I submit to you and God is my witness. Less than 15% of my prayer life is for myself. You must look beyond yourself. I told you fatherhood is about being a foundation, starting, providing the structure for sustainability, and then perpetuating it. That means our children should be by far better than us. Do you agree with that? That we'll have young boys at age 15 in Koinonia who have accessed the level of light we got at 30, we got at 40. You believe that? Say amen. Yeah. It shouldn't take the people who are coming long to get to this point. In the name of Jesus, I believe with all my heart that whether spiritually, financially, in terms of influence, God will raise people who will outdo by far. I'm a young man, but I'm praying for you. May God raise you to outdo by far the little that we have done. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's the same prayer that the fathers have prayed for us. And it's the same prayers we pray for those who look up to us. Only foolish fathers want to be better than their children. Only insecure fathers want to be better than their children. You should be your best and the best based on God's standard. But it's the pride of any father and it's the joy of any child to say that I came out from this. I am that seed that has become mighty and through me a generation that is now upright and blessed. Hallelujah. Please all stand. Let me say this in closing. In addition to being a foundation and a sustainer, providing all that is needed, in addition to being a covering, providing spiritual and emotional security, in addition to being a mirror, helping the Son through the Word to define a word-compliant identity and affirming that identity so that he lives victorious, in addition to being a molder of character and moral values, in addition to being a builder, a mentor, a coach, building your son's capacity, in addition to being a prophet, speaking over the child's life. Let me end by doing a quick extract from a teaching that I think is redefining inheritance. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Your fatherhood is not complete until legacy is established through your life. Please don't forget this. We're wrapping up. Your fatherhood is not complete until legacy. You know what legacy means? Continuity. That you perpetuate everything beyond yourself. If it stops with you, you did not complete the fatherhood. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There are five things that every father must transfer to his children, transfer to his subordinates, transfer to everybody who looks up to you. Let me include this as we wrap up. Number one, the first inheritance that you can transfer are your spiritual convictions. The first thing that qualifies to be called an inheritance that you should give your children are your spiritual convictions. Your love for God is transferable to your child. The dynamics of being prayerful, loving the Lord, the principles of your consecration, let it not stop with you. Let it not end with you. Transfer it to your children. If the only thing you give your children is money, oh, you didn't do much. You didn't do much, I assure you. Your spiritual convictions, as touching prayer, as touching your passion for God, as touching the value of consecration. Number two, the second thing you need to transfer to your children, your belief system, your philosophies. What mindset made you a champion? What mindset made you a director? What mindset was responsible for the myriads of awards in your house? Is transferable. Your intellectual capacity. He may not study what you are studying, but you can teach him the laws of life. You can transfer your belief system, your philosophies, your value system, your ideas about God, your ideas about Satan, your ideas about life, your ideas about success, your ideas about men, your ideas about wealth, your ideas about effective living, your ideas about destiny, your belief system. Number three, what qualifies to be transferred to your children? Your relationships, the leverage of connections, strategic connections. Hallelujah. I rejoice over the children that are rising from this ministry because I made a statement many years ago. I said we will all be great, and the greater part is that we'll all know ourselves. I am happy about that because even though
truthfully speaking, all fingers are not the same. But I am happy that many of our children are in the right company. Right company. Your relationships. The leverage through these relationships. In the name of Jesus Christ. You must educate your children on what you did to preserve the relationships that are now profiting you. So they don't destroy it. So they don't destroy it. Don't just introduce them to men. Teach them the law of honor. Teach them respect. It took you diplomacy, intelligence, and honor. Sometimes it took you stinging your pride and your ego to maintain relationships for 30 years. Don't transfer it to a child that would destroy it in 1 year. Are we together? Every time you are giving a child something that is too expensive, educate them first before you give it. They will not value it because the warfare is ended. Number four. What is the fourth blessing that is transferable? Physical assets. Now the houses. Now whatever you consider to be an asset. The real estate. The investments. The shares. Are you seeing that? That's number four. So when you mention inheritance as touching legacy, number one is your spiritual conviction. Number two, your ideologies, your belief systems, your value systems. Number three, your relationships, profitable relationships. Four, physical assets. Number five, transfer the blessing. Transfer the blessing. Transfer the blessing. Transfer the anointing. The anointing that backed you. I hope you know, it was not all about brain work. It was not just about principles. Behind the enviable exploits that your life has commanded, your life is commanding, and your life will command, is an anointing. Do not rob your children from tasting of that glory. Bless them. Speak over their life. Let the grace rest on them. The grace for favor. Release it on them. The grace that brings influence. The hear ye him anointing. Release it on them. The grace that enhances productivity. Release it on them. The next time you say, I am a father as a male figure, or I am manifesting fatherhood, the next time somebody calls you daddy or calls you father, or the next time somebody calls you an exceptional leader, please have it at the back of your mind that fatherhood is beyond a title. It is a call to responsibility. Now I say this as we prepare to pray. To those who have done well as fathers biologically speaking, as fathers spiritually speaking, hallelujah, as fathers over territories, for those who have done well as exceptional leaders, male or female, exhibiting fatherhood as the highest leadership quality, we salute you and we honor your resilience and your sacrifice. To the mothers who have had to bridge that defect of the absence of true and noble fathers, we salute you for the courage to cry and yet keep praying. To work yourself and work multiple jobs for the sake of your children. To the children who lost it out on the privilege to have effective parenting, effective word-based fatherhood, who never knew the love of a father, who never saw a father that represented the nobility of fatherhood as God expected and as God defined. For such, we thank you and we salute you for still standing in spite of the odds. You would have become wayward and gone your way, and you seem to, you would have had a justification, but you chose the path of life. But I'm more interested in the fourth group. I want to speak a word of hope to a father here, or maybe a father watching online. You are saying, Apostle, I'm 60 years, I'm 70 years, I'm 80 years. You are my son, you are my grandson, but I wish I knew what you were saying. For someone who is saying right now, all my children hate me because it is clear that I failed. to someone who is saying, I don't even have a home again. My carelessness has shredded my family apart. Wife, she's gone to live her life. Children are all grown. My memory is cancerous to their productivity. They hate me. They've forgotten about me. The thing I know about God is that He's able to restore. Maybe not your home the way it was, but He can give you peace. Hallelujah. Let me counsel fathers, where you are able to reconcile with your children. By reconcile, I don't necessarily mean come together. I just mean make peace. If God grants you the grace to do that in your lifetime, please swallow your pride and do it. Number two, to those who still have the courage to look at the cracks in their family and believe enough that it still can be mended, in light of this knowledge, may God grant you the grace to begin to broker the process that restores a dysfunctional family to one that is a winning family. But to the one who is an apostle, forget it, it's over. I cannot present to you a hopeful message about getting your wife back or getting your children. But I can tell you this. If you lost your wife, you lost your children, you lost your reputation, you lost everything, please do not lose Jesus. When you find Him, He makes you a winner, even if you failed in any area of your life. Koinonia, particularly to the men. This is a journey that is easier said than done. But my discussion tonight is a challenge to us, as God put it in my heart, in honor to the Father's Day, that God will help us to be noble men as leaders, to be noble fathers as biological fathers, spiritual fathers, sociological fathers, coverings over our families, that if it depends on us, we will not fail. If you believe this, please reach out to someone by your left and right, and in 1 minute, let's intercede for all the fathers in this ministry. Let's intercede for all the fathers that we have across our global expression, and then let's intercede for fathers in this nation and in the body of Christ. Would you open your mouth and pray? Some of you hate the fact that I'm saying intercede for your fathers, because the memory of these fathers is something you don't want to remember. But I pray for you that God will do something to your heart while you are praying. Please lift your voice and pray. I forgot to tell you that men also cry. I forgot to tell you that men also fail. I forgot to tell you that sometimes there are godlike expectations on men. And sometimes the world is too harsh on men. The masculine gender is easy to come under attack. Sometimes they don't give enough time for men to evolve. The expectation is everywhere. Pray. If you are privileged to have your parents alive, can you lend a word of prayer, particularly for your father? Pray for your boss. Hallelujah. There is a controversial scripture in the Bible that many have misunderstood. It's a scripture that Jesus Himself spoke about. And Jesus said to call no man father. You see, one of the blessings of the teaching ministry is the explanation of scripture. That is where the word doctrine comes from. It comes from the word instructions or teachings that are explained to provide understanding and conviction. When you read the Bible, it's important that you understand that the Bible is also an educational material that was written within a context that is way, way older than your context today. And you need intelligence in reading scripture so that you don't bring meanings out of it that was not intended. So when Jesus says to call no man father, now you understand
The word father there means your source as touching God. It doesn't mean earthly father. When he says to call no man father, he was speaking within the context of placing a man in the position of God. Are you getting it now? It's the context of placing a man in the position of God. In as much as the word Abba Pater means source, for us who are enlightened, we know that there is only one source of all life, the God of heaven. But that you are, even though called a source, in truth you are a channel, that it started from him. For from you are all things, we sing, and to you are all things. Is that true? So, that God is the source of all life, all things, and then we receive of his fullness. And within our context, we become the Abbas, the source, but not as though we are the original source of wisdom, of grace. A man can receive nothing. I needed to bring that scripture because there are people who erroneously, you don't have to call people father to refer to them as father. But even if you do call them father, fatherhood has been abused, especially spiritual fatherhood. It's been abused in Africa and parts of the West America, unfortunately. It has become idolatry. There are people who go through all kinds of things because they must call people father. The idea is not mentioning father or daddy. The idea is to understand that there is such a principle as fatherhood. But that even when you call people father, it is still scriptural. When the Bible says, call no man father, please learn it again. What he means is do not put anyone, he said, for one is your father in heaven. So he's speaking with respect to God's position. Do you understand that now? Now that you are here, listen, let every spirit bow to the Father of spirits, the Holy One of Israel. So, when he shows up, Joshua Selman stops being father. When he shows up, your biological father ceases to be father because he's the father of spirits. That's why we take our golden crowns and all of us together, both father and son, both boss and employee and employer, we all bow to the father. That's why he's called our father. Is somebody learning now? Yeah. By the time you call somebody father, meaning you are God in my life, you are now doing what Jesus said we should not do. And sometimes we men of God, when we refer to people as sons, we literally mean subliminally that we are God in their lives. And there are preachers that have even stretched in error to openly say it. No, sir. No man, being God in somebody's life is idolatry. Now that you are here, let every spirit bow to the Father of spirits. He's the Holy One of Israel. That is the reason why when he shows up, both the fathers and the sons and the grandsons and the young men, we all fall before him. We worship him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And we say, our Father. Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father. Now please look up. How do you know that your fatherhood is idolatry when it becomes worship? There is a fine line between honor, respect, and worship. When a man demands honor or respect, that's within the scope of earthly fatherhood. But when a man demands worship, you see, at that point, it has gotten into the state of witchcraft and fatherhood. Did you learn anything today? With your hands lifted to heaven, thank him for all that you have heard. If you learned anything that's added to your knowledge and your understanding, please give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Just for 1 minute. We are stretched already, but give him praise.
He is the Father of spirits, the Holy One of Israel.
Hallelujah. Now I'd like you to pray for yourself. First for the men and then for everyone. Please, every man pray. Whether you are a father biologically or not, Lord, the grace to not fail in this divine responsibility. Open your mouth and pray. Wives, pray for your husbands. Children, pray for your fathers that they will not fail. Subordinates, pray for your superiors. It's a wiser alternative to complaining. Those falling online, whether from broken homes, dysfunctional homes, homes that are alive and flourishing. 1 minute, lift your voice and pray. To the Father of spirits, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand representing the men and the fathers in this house and all those who are connected to this global ministry. We obtain grace to not fail you. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. We obtain grace to not fail you in our families. Amen. We obtain grace to not fail you in our organizations. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we decree and declare that under our watch, the seed that comes from us, biologically, spiritually, financially, sociologically, may our seeds be mighty upon earth. And in the name of Jesus, let the generation that comes out of us be upright and be blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every attack on families, every attack on men, on their lives, on their health, in the name that is above all names, I decree and declare, let that attack come to an end now. Come to an end now. Come to an end now. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're wrapping up. We'll do something in 1 minute very quickly. Every lady, if there's a man sitting close to you, can you just turn and tell them, I bless God for your life? Whether you have, it doesn't have to be your husband. Say, I bless God for your life. Some of you are talking to only your husband. Say, I bless God for your life. Now say, Happy Father's Day. The men say, thank you. Say it again. The men say, thank you. Now, Happy Father's Day to everybody. Koinonia Global, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is only father to you if you are born again. Let me make that very clear. If you are not born again, he's creator, but not father. The fatherhood of God only covers family. He's creator of all, but he's only father to his children. Please lend me your attention. Haven't heard me speak. I've been shouting here for an hour or two. And the Holy Ghost has spoken to someone. Maybe your earthly father failed you. I want to present to you the Heavenly Father and the gift of salvation that He's brought to us through Christ. Wherever you are, you want to make it right. You are saying, Apostle, I want to know the love and the fatherhood of God once and for all. I want to receive of this blessing of salvation. Wherever you are, I want to count 1 to 5. You imagine your father calling you to embrace you and to tell you that he loves you. Wherever you are, as I count 1 to 5, please leave your seat and come. Maybe your father has passed on to glory. Come. The greatest father is inviting you. Come. Koinonia, let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate them. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. 2. Counting 1 to 5. 3. Are you tired of clapping? Welcome to the family of God the Father.
Welcome to the family of love. Four. Those of you who are outside and across all our expressions, you may move to your LED screen for sake of time. But a final count for anyone who is coming, if you're still coming, make your way quickly. Make your way quickly. Five, a big round of applause for everyone. Now please lift your hands, all of you who are here. Thank you very much for responding. Say after me. Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus. Join them, my dear. Lord Jesus, I declare that I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as Savior, as Lord, and as King. And I declare that I'm a child of God. From tonight, I go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for this noble decision. Would you look to my right? That is your left. There are counselors who have a word and a prayer for you. Very quickly, and then you'll be back to your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now very quickly, please look at me. In the name of Jesus, I minister healing to everyone here who is from a broken family. In the name of Jesus, I minister healing to every woman here who has been wounded as a result of poor fatherhood. In the name of Jesus, I minister healing to every man who has been broken either as a result of your own poor performance as a father or as a result of the things that have happened in life and has webbed you in failure. In the name that is above all names, may the Lord show you mercy. Amen. I pray for every home that is broken here. May God, who is the restorer, who is the mender, mend and restore you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray from the depth of my heart that you will not go down. Amen. I pray for those of you who are fathers in leadership capacity with people under your care. May you not only be productive using them, but may you love them sincerely. From the depth of my heart, I bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So very quickly for Thursday, I think the link is already up. Please put the link for me, for the medical people. All of you who want to become part of the medics for the outreach, please leave it there. There's a QR code. Make sure you are a certified doctor or pharmacist or paramedic. Please scan it very quickly. You don't have to be part of the Koinonia family necessarily. You can just want to come in honor of the birthday. That's fine. And then for the others, which other one? I know two links were sent. Media, you should help me on that. What's the second link? Okay, for newborn babies. So for those who are born from 12 midnight, that's 12:01 Thursday till 11:59, all those who are born within Abuja, please, you can scan the QR code with your evidence. We'll send our doctors. Most likely we have a relationship with that hospital if it's in Abuja, and we'll verify, and then our medical team will come up with a support in honor. Just see it with love from Jesus through me to those babies, and it's a declaration that may they be better than me in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our time is up. I already blessed you. That blessing remains so. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. The sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. So Thursday, by 5 p.m. on the dot, we're here. Invite everybody around the city. The Lord bless you.